This is Manga Cubed, episode 100. Your one-stop for manga news and commentary for the week of July 9th, 2014. I am your main host, Derek, and I am joined by my co-host, Mo.
Finger! Ow!
What did you do?
I was just plugging my headphones in, and somehow one of the wires went and, like, whiplashed at me, like, ow. I don't know how it does that. Good morning, everyone. What did you do this week?
Well, not much. Had a 3-day weekend, just relaxed, cooked some stuff, took it easy.
I got my certificate from the class, I've actually been having it since, like, May, actually. I'm supposed to get it back in January at the end of the class, but somehow the people took so long just to, you know, sign, just to get the person to sign their name, and it's like, just sign your name on the certificate, and then for everyone, that's it. You don't have to, like, what the heck? That's the easiest thing. You sign it. You don't have to go write all these things. Just sign here. That's it. Sign here. Same place. Everything. Boom.
I see. Fair enough. Yeah. So, you know, it's not been a very eventful week overall. Just kind of, you know, doing a little manga reading to prepare for the episode and all that fun stuff. But, yeah. So, episode 100. Did you ever think we'd make it this far?
I totally forgot what episode 100.
Ouch. I just said it, like, 2 minutes ago. Man, but, yeah, so, I'm kind of surprised we made it this far, honestly. I mean, I wasn't getting into this expecting to quit. I mean, early on, I was kind of thinking, oh, I'm probably going to think this is too much work and then just stop doing it. But, you know, then after that, just the whole idea of reaching 100 episodes never really occurred to me, you know? It just, I don't know, it just never really was this thing that was on my mind. So by the time we started getting close to, like, 75 or whatnot, I started thinking, oh, wow, this might actually happen. And then here we are, 100 episodes in.
You know, episode I can't wait to reach one day?
What?
Well, 200. So that's another one. That's like another 100.
Yeah, so right now I'm currently feeling about 200 the way I felt about 100 when we started this. I'm not so sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, I remember I used to be on the forums back then, and we'd be like, oh yeah, we're going to make it to 1 million, and then we never made 1 million or something.
Yeah,
I mean, we did, but then they kind of...
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this is... Yeah, I mean, 200 episodes, it's not impossible, but I mean, it would take us a long time to do so, since at the moment, this took us, like, what, 2.5 years, almost, or 2 years exactly, I think? Let me double check and just remind myself of when we started exactly. Let's see, where's that list? Okay. So, just loading up the archives here, just to take a look and see when exactly just to see when exactly we started, and for some reason the stupid thing is taking forever to load, because I'm trying to remember. I know it was like we started in the summer of sometime.
Late summer, August? Was it August? Probably August.
I don't recall. It was... Well, let's see. Jeez, come on. Press the stupid link, you stupid thing. There we go. Okay, yeah. And loading that right now. Alright, it was actually in May of 2012, so...
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a little anniversary in May, I forgot.
Yeah, so our... Right, so, yeah, just the end of, yeah, just not last week, but, like, the week before was basically our 2-year anniversary. And, yeah, so...
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah, so, 2012. Yeah, so, yeah, season one was the majority of 2012. And then season two was all of 2013. And then, here. So it took basically almost exactly 2 years for us, just a little bit over 2 years for us to reach 100 episodes. So, 200 episodes probably going to take us 2 years. Mm. So I wouldn't hold my breath on that, because after all, this is probably one of the longest running podcasts that I can think of that has done so without any actual listeners.
Yeah. So I feel like we're just talking to ourselves.
Which we mostly are, but you know what? That doesn't matter, because talking about manga is fun, so screw anyone that isn't listening. But, I just told the majority of the world to go screw themselves.
It's not like they're listening in the first place.
So I think we might take a moment a little later and talk about, kind of just how this all came to pass, kind of thing, why we started the podcast and all that. We'll just have after the news, we'll have a little segment talking about that. But for now, let's go ahead and do the actual news.
Okay.
Go ahead and get this taken care of. So,
All
right, let's see. Starting with the Japanese comic rankings for May 26th to June 1st. And in 10th place, we have Fairy Tail Volume 43.
In 9th place, Arakawa Under the Bridge.
8th place, Jojo Leon Volume 7.
7th place, Terraform Mars Volume 9.
6th place, Kimi to Boku Volume 14.
5th place, Hozuki no Reitetsu Volume 14.
4th place, Kanojo wa Uso o Aishisugi Teru, Volume 14.
3rd place, Kyo wa Kaisha Yatimasu, Volume 6.
2nd place, Aoharu Ride, Volume 10.
And 1st place, Saint Youngman, Volume 10. Also, just to point it out, Volume 13, Attack on Titan, which is 42nd place. Even though it's only sold 19,000 copies, it still sold a total of 794 copies. My numbering system is so whacked.
But
it fell way down though.
Indeed.
But all right. Sorry, it's been selling enough.
Right? Yeah. So next bit of news we have is the top-selling manga in Japan by volume. We'll of course start
first half of year 2014.
Yeah, and we're starting with 10th place. We're not going to go through the whole thing. You can go to Anime News Network to get the whole list.
Or Oricon if you can read Japanese.
That too. Yep. So in 10th place we have I'm Sakamoto, Volume 2 with 775,315 volumes sold.
That's a lot. Well, the 9th place one beat it by about 20,000 more, which is Naruto Volume 69.
How many did it sell?
799,324.
Yep. 8th place, we have Silver Spoon Volume 10 with 836,790 sold.
Silver Spoon's Volume 11 sold 904,863.
And in 6th place, we have Kimi ni Todoke, Volume 21, which sold 934,335.
5th place is Naruto's Volume 68, sold 1,039,390.
4th place, Naruto Volume 67. Naruto's doing well this year-round. With 1,073,219 copies sold.
Yeah, it's fourth place overall for some reason. Anyways, third place is Attack on Titan Volume 13, which sold 1,665,561 copies.
And then second place, Attack on Titan Volume 12, which is 1,770,746 copies sold.
And then first place is One Piece Volume 73 at 2,825,339.
It's kind of interesting that there's only one piece volume there. When I think it's with One Piece, it's I think they only released one. Though it's interesting that there's three volumes of Naruto in the top 10, which I think there are more.
Each one doesn't take that many breaks. That's why I'm not.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that the more recent one didn't sell as well, while the two older ones sold a bit more. So like, it's like Naruto sells a, you know, a steady enough stream that older volumes can get on the list. While with One Piece, it's just, you know, immediate, you know, as soon as it comes out, it's like millions sold. And yeah, it's, this is one of those rare years where we can't say that One Piece beat out the other top five combined. You know, if you added them all to get the other four together, it still wouldn't get as much as One Piece. In this case, that's not really true anymore because Attack on Titan has been doing really well. All right. Next list is the New York Times manga bestseller list for May 25th through the 31st. And in 10th place, we have Fairy Tail, volume 38. Mo? All right. In 9th place, we have Wolf Children, Ame and Yuki. And in 8th place, we have Attack on Titan, volume 2. And in 7th place, we have Attack on Titan, volume 10. In 6th place, we have Attack on Titan, volume 12. 5th place, we have High School DD, volume 1. 4th place, we have Attack on Titan, volume 1. 3rd place, we have Soul Eater, volume 20. 2nd place, we have Monster Musume, volume 3. Yeah, of course. And in 1st place, we have Dragonar Academy, Volume 2. And, let's see. From there on, we have the North American anime and manga releases for June 1st through the 7th. For the anime releases, we have Ah My Buddha DVD Complete Collection. We have Amnesia Blu-ray and DVD Complete Collection. We have the Attack on Titan DVD and Blu-ray Part 1 Funimation Exclusive Collector's Edition, as well as the DVD and Blu-ray Part 1 Limited Edition and the DVD and Blu-ray Part 1 Regular Edition. We have Bleach DVD Set Volume 21. We have Mobile Suit Gundam Unicorn Blu-ray Volume 7. We have the Hentai Prince and the Stony Cat Blu-ray Complete Collection and DVD Complete Collection. And we have Express Train DVD, and there's the porno.
Wait, where are we at again?
Oh, for the love of...
No, look, let me explain. Some people coming to visit their family came by and they asked to use a phone for some reason. Lent them my cell phone because that's the only phone I had at the time. Let them call, and just so you know, they kind of had bad direction. It was like just not far from where I live. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's why I thought it was my mom going, "Oh, open the door."
Yeah, we just finished the anime releases.
Oh man, how'd you go that so fast?
Because I can read fast. I'm not going to sit around waiting for you. That's bad. That's bad radio, as they say.
I'm sorry you had to read the porn one. As apologizing, I will watch. I'm kidding.
No, don't you dare. Yeah. All right. Well, for the manga releases, we've got Alice in the Country of Jokers, Circus and Liars Game, Volume 5.
Okay. Centaur of Life, Volume 3.
Okay. Dengeki Daisy, Volume 14.
Dragon Ball Full Color Volume 3 Saiyan Arc and Dragon Ball 13 to 15 Omnibus.
Yes, I need to get that, the Omnibus. Girls and Panzer Volume 1.
What's that one? I think it's about girls in being in freaking battle tanks or something.
Yes, it is.
I don't understand. Happy Marriage Volume 6. That should not be classified as adult, but okay.
Kamisama Kiss, Volume 15.
Kimi Todoke, Volume 19.
Knights of Sidonia, Volume 9.
Millennium Snow. I almost said Millennium Snow for some reason. Millennium Snow, Volume 1 and 2 Omnibus, and Volume 3 Single Volume. Why?
I'm suspecting it might just be a 3-volume thing.
Probably.
Because, I don't know. But in that case, why not just put all three of them together? I need to check this out. Let's see. How many volumes does this have?
It has vampires.
Oh, there's four of them. Weird.
There's vampires and werewolves in it.
And it's a shoujo. Gosh darn it. It's like, what's wrong with vampires and werewolves in a, you know, shonen manga? Alright. Let's see. Next one. Did we already do, where were we?
Yours is Natsume.
Right. Natsume, oh yes. Natsume's Book of Friends, Volume 16.
New Lone and Wolf Cub, Volume 1.
Mm-hmm. Nora, Rise of the Yokai Clan, Volume 21.
One Piece, Volume 71 and One Piece 25-27. Omnibus about Skypiea.
Pokemon Adventures Platinum, Volume 11.
And Pokemon Black and White, Volume 16.
Seraph of the End, Volume 1.
Huh, it's not released that now on print, huh? Showa, 1939-1944, History of Japan.
Toriko, Volume 22.
Voice over, Seiyu Academy, Volume 5.
Yeah, I just thought of a good good way that we could excuse going over One Piece again. If we just say, okay, and now we're going over the omnibuses. Everyone's like, but you went 3 volumes at the time. That's the same thing. It's like, yes, but now I just bought the omnibuses and we're going over them. I was like, why are you wasting your money on the omnibuses? Because I need a crappy version for other people to read.
What?
Yep. All right. Let's see.
I'm broke now, anyways.
Yeah. All right. For other releases, we have Hyper Dimension Neptunia PP for the PlayStation Vita.
Funny.
Haha.
PP. Double P. Mm-hmm. Anyways, Murdered Soul Suspect for PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PC, PlayStation. Why is it PlayStation 4 twice?
Typo.
Okay, so basically PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, PC.
And Xbox One.
And Xbox One.
It might have been that the typo was it was meant to say PlayStation 3, Xbox 360,
PC, and yeah.
PlayStation 4. Because if it's on the 360, it should be on the PlayStation 3.
In the suggested retail price, it says PS3, so yeah.
Okay, yeah, there we go. All right, let's see. What other news do we have?
You forgot to mention Tomodachi Life for Nintendo 3DS, but okay.
Oh, yeah, that. Yeah, anyway, yeah, what else is there?
Okay, everybody's favorite zombie romantic comedy manga. Wait, what?
What?
It's going to come to an end by November.
Wait, which manga is this?
Sankareya.
Ew.
Yes, that one. It's going to end in its next volume on November 7th.
Huh. Okay, fair enough.
November 7th. That's my mom's birthday.
Can't say I'm particularly choked up about that because, yeah, the concept of anything vaguely human-shaped eating other humans without looking like a rotten corpse is kind of disgusting. So I've decided to pass on this one forever.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm not a fan of zombies unless I get to shoot them now. But okay. So, the biographical manga, The Untold Story, How Tezuka Created His Blackjack, and I'm totally confused what this is, to be honest. It's a non-fiction manga.
Right. Well, it's a biography, so.
Yeah, there you go. It's a biography.
About Tezuka, so it's pretty straightforward, and it's done.
I don't know what I'm saying, but I kind of want there to be a biographical manga about Abraham Lincoln.
It probably is.
That'll be awesome.
Yes.
Not the one about him slaying vampires, okay?
Oh, yes, please.
That'll be hilarious, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, manga adaptation of BBC show goes on hiatus until October. Yes.
I haven't even read that.
Those who did not know, there is a manga based off the BBC Sherlock. It's now on hiatus. Go read it if you can. It's not bad, I guess.
Where is it available?
I don't think it's available.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen any scanlations of it, so.
Oh, yeah, there's scanlations of it.
Oh, are there? Okay.
Yeah. I'm just not sure if it caught up and all that.
All right. Fair enough. What else do we have?
NBC Irene Adams. Anyways. Nanato Kaoru's Amazumi starts ECQ Q-Pick manga in July. they, let's say the story, it's about a young man who attended a high school in a rural area and used female classmates in his erotic manga. Okay, I'm not reading it anymore.
Yeah. Next.
After graduating, he is accepted to a college in Tokyo. There he finds everything he's looking for. Okay, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Gravitational Boys Love Manga is listed with a new series. No idea what this new series is. Okay. Okay. Viz licenses Trinity Blood Manga for digital release. Okay, now for those of you who don't know, I never read Trinity Blood Manga, but the only thing I know about is that the creator passed away before his series could finish, similar to Kaze no Stigma, light novel. So both those two light novels are pretty much permanently ended because cut off, you know, discontinued because the creators died. But yeah, the Trinity Blood manga, wait, was it the light novels that died, or was it the mangaka? Well, it's a good series from what I've heard. Okay, just to give a little recap what it's about. In a dark and distant future, Armageddon has given rise to the fabled second moon and a perpetual war between the vampires and the humans. Esther is a noon... Oh, sorry. It's a nun in the city of Istvan. When she crosses path of Abel Nightroad, a priest sent from the Vatican to combat the holy local order of vampires, the pair forms a holy alliance to battle the most evil threats. Vampires?
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Manga Box app adds, why can't I get a girlfriend? And the godlike gambler Arimaria manga.
Fair enough. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to check that out yet.
Okay. Viz Kids Imprint offers Pokemon Adventure X and Y manga. Yes.
Cool.
Yes, that. Hang on, opening other news, because opening all that at once is going to slow my computer down. I had to. Good. Okay, so Viz Media announced on Wednesday that it will publish Hidenori Kusaka and Satoshi Yamamoto's Pokemon Adventures X and Y manga series as part of its Perfect Support imprint for kids. So this one is practically going to be the pocket-sized version for kids or something, I guess. Not pocket-sized, but like shorter version or something? I don't know. The first volume will debut in physical and digital formats in December, with additional volumes arriving twice a year.
Cool.
Okay, so, even though it's another Pokemon manga with another arc, another generation, I'll describe the story in it because, you know, each protagonist's story is a little different from the other one. As the new champion of the Pokemon Battle Union Tournament in the Kalos region, X is hailed as a child prodigy. But when all the media attention proves to be too much for him, he holds up in his room to hide from everyone, including his best friends. What will it take for him to come out? How about an attack on his hometown of Vanderview Town by the two new legendary Pokemon, Xerneas and Gietal?
Interesting.
And a mysterious organization named Team Flare. That's funny. It's like, I don't want all this media attention. All of a sudden, the town gets attacked. What's going on? We're getting attacked. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, that's totally the kind of story that I want to read, where the main character pusses out and locks himself in his room. I guess
the only main character I know that destroyed his own hometown is from an RPG game.
I guess some Japanese readers can relate to that, but yeah, for me it's just sort of like, that doesn't sound like an interesting direction to go. But
I don't think anyone could relate could relate to this in some way, but I just said, I don't think anybody can relate to destroying their own town, trying to save at the same time.
Sounds interesting enough. What else do we have?
Okay. Attack on Titan tops graphic novels in youth bookstores in May, which was last month. Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been pretty popular, so that's good.
Yeah,
it's a good series. I like it.
Yeah.
All right. What else do we have?
Okay, this is pretty serious, and it's actually pretty important, as you point out. Japan's, I don't want to say the two words, but if you can actually figure out by just the two letters I say, I hope that you actually understand. Japan's CP bill would not restrict anime manga.
Okay. Why won't it restrict anime and manga?
Because, first of all, it's drawings, it's not real, and also it would kind of hinder the anime manga industry because of all the lolly attention and crap.
Yeah, so is this the same bill, the youth protection bill, or is this, no, that was just Tokyo, this is a different bill, isn't it?
Probably, yeah, I think so.
So, okay, so basically manga artists can still draw lolly porn just as long as they're not in Tokyo.
Yes, have fun with that, Yabuki.
Yeah.
But actually it's a good thing because, you know, Hanta kind of draws that too. Not that he does that, but most of his females are kind of, what's the term, petango?
I guess, I don't know. I don't bother learning those terms.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's good?
But yeah, here's
sort of. I don't know. I mean, I don't partake in that kind of anime and manga. So, on the one hand, I'm thinking, well, it's good that they're not censoring an art form. But on the other hand, part of me is kind of skeeved out by that part of the art form and wouldn't complain too much if somebody said, hey, let's not do lollies ever again. You know?
Please do not read your erotic manga in public.
Yeah,
don't see it at all. I'm not even referring to don't read your CP crap out there. Don't even read erotica, because no one can see that. Keep it to yourself, please. Unless you are just so weird, you have to read out there for people. Oh my god, this guy's a pervert. Or this guy's a pervert. Or this guy's amazing. He's reading this stuff, right? Like, no, he's just insanely stupid because he just wants attention. Don't give him attention. Don't give these guys attention.
Yeah.
Anyways, anybody found in possession of CP could face 1 year in prison and a fine of 1,000,000 yen. That's about $10,000.
That's a lot of money.
That's very reasonable, but it should be more. It should be $1,000,000.
Yeah, oh well. This is a distasteful subject, but, well, manga and anime aren't being censored, even though part of me thinks that, wishes it kind of was, as far as that is concerned.
Okay.
But the larger part of me is saying, you know what? No censorship is better than censorship, even though my personal tastes would rather there was censorship of certain things. But let's move on. What's the next bit of news?
Okay, yeah, let's move on. New Rurouni Kenshin manga is going to tell the story of how Shishio and Yumi met. Who the heck is Yumi?
Lady?
Wait, she had cleavage?
Lots of it. I'm pretty sure. She was the concubine consort type lady that was with Shishio. You know, the one that wore a kimono in a way that I'm pretty sure nobody ever wore because it would fall off.
Oh, her.
Yeah.
I haven't read that manga, so I couldn't remember who she was.
I'm pretty sure that's who it is. And I mean, that's the only person that I can think of who Shishio meeting would actually be important because she's kind of, I don't know, yeah, they kind of, in the story, it's like, oh yeah, she was, you know, she was basically a consort and with a lot of powerful men, but, you know, her life kind of sucked because, you know, she was basically a prostitute. So, yeah. So that'd be interesting to see. I guess I am kind of curious to see how they'll meet. But then again, Watsuki's art, current style, I don't know if it would, you know, if it would be appropriate for a story that I'd hope would be actually kind of serious. He's a bit silly right now. But
yes, I don't know why he made such a big deal out of that one guy who was just practically, what's the word, cannon fodder. And then he somehow became very important in the reboot. Why is this guy important in the reboot? Get rid of him already.
Yeah, I don't know what was up with that. But anyway, what other news do we have?
Okay, new Psycho Pass manga is going to launch in June.
Oh, cool.
Have you ever read Psycho Pass? I don't know if you've read Psycho Pass.
Nope.
I've seen it, but I've had a chance to.
Yeah, well, I heard the plot of the first anime series, and I decided, you know what? I think I'm going to freaking pass.
Wait. The plot?
Of the first anime episode, or at least Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's the right one.
Okay, I just realized it. Wait, is this based off the anime? Which came from the anime or the manga, or this one? Oh boy. Let me look that up. See, this is what happens when, you know, news just comes out, you know, the day, and I have to gather everything at once. I mean, I usually could gather them one day at a time, but I would like it if all the news that, you know, just be gathered all at once. Okay, it's actually an anime series episode.
Okay. Okay. Alright. Cool.
Something else, then.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, this series, I decided, you know, it's a little too dark for me. So.
No, you don't want to watch Dark and the Black, then. There's so much gore in it.
Yeah, it's not what I was talking about, but yeah.
That one's anime by Bowen Studio, the one that did the Full Metal Alchemist one. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Pass.
Did you pass? Like, I'm not watching that. Okay, fine. Yeah, that's all the news.
All right, then. Well, fair enough. What just happened? What was that noise?
I heard nothing.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. Every once in a while, my computer will make this sound that it makes when it moves something or takes a picture. Which is really weird. Oh, well. Now I'm kind of terrified. Is somebody on my computer taking pictures that they shouldn't be? Oh, well. Anyway. yeah, I didn't do anything to make it cause it to do that. Unless... I don't know. Then again, my computer has been acting up in a way that it hasn't been making the noises it should be making when it does. And then every once in a while, it's like they all happen at once. It's weird, and it kind of freaks me out. All right, then. Well, that's all the news, is it?
Yeah, that's all the news.
All right, cool beans. All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll move on to the next segment. This is the review segment of Manga Cubed. And this week we are reviewing One Piece Volumes 40, 41, and 42. You know, it occurred to me that the purpose of a review is to tell people whether they should or should not be reading or watching the product that is being reviewed.
It just occurred to you?
No, I've been thinking about it, but it occurred to me in terms of it almost feels pointless to review these volumes in that sense, because 40 volumes in, it's into the series, it's kind of pointless whether we say you should read it or not. If you haven't been reading it yet, you should not be reading this one, and you should go read the first damn volume.
Right, so think about, like, there's 10 volumes, or you should think about, well, 5 volumes, people just say, hey, I want to read this, but in some series take a while, like One Piece, took, like, what, 10 volumes for people to actually decide that
10, 12, it was the Arlong arc.
Yeah, it was 10.
Yeah, so about
11,
that.
11.
Yeah. The thing, but however, there is actually a purpose for this review for people that have not read One Piece yet. Namely that this is the point where we tell you that it is absolutely freaking worth reading 40 plus volumes to reach this point, because these volumes are freaking awesome. Like, we're right in the middle of Enies Lobby, and in volume 40, we start off with all the characters, just in general. I mean, there's so much stuff that happens that I can't really go into detail about everything.
Yeah, I would like to, but no, we're just calling the important stuff.
Yeah, which is basically that the majority of the volume is Luffy and his group fighting through the Marines while Spandam keeps mishearing how many soldiers have been defeated. Like, someone tries to tell him, is like, oh, he defeated 9,000 soldiers, and Spandam's like, what, he only defeated 9? What a wuss. And then you get to the very end, and then Luffy suddenly shows up, and Spandam's like, wait, what's he doing here? He's like, what's going on here?
We were going to inform you, yes, he defeated, like, what?
Yeah, it's like, he beat everyone. And so Basically, yeah, this one is still pretty much everyone just fighting their way through trying to get into the building while the let's see, was it Khalifa and Kaku decide whether or not to eat these two devil fruits that Spondom got. And we also, what's interesting about the format is that a good chunk of the majority of the volume is Luffy fighting against
Bluno.
Yeah, Bluno. Yeah, Bluno, which is kind of
bar guy.
Yeah, from the bar.
The guy from the bar.
Yeah, it's kind of good that he was the first one that was taken out, because somehow, even though he was around longer than the three that were introduced when we got to Enies Lobby, he seems even less important because he was just that random guy from the bar.
That's probably where Oda's like, yeah, I think it's a good time to get rid of him.
Yeah, and it's in one of the best moments in the series. I mean, because what really works about this is it's not just focusing only on Luffy and Bluno's fight. It actually splits it up so that, you know, the dramatic tension rises until you get to the, towards the end where Luffy is saying, is like, I can't beat you like this. And he does this thing with his legs where he pumps his legs. And I guess I've never really understood it. He superheats his blood or something.
He's rubber.
And yeah, and it causes him, you know, like he pumps his blood extra and it makes him stronger. It makes him like steam. And he goes into gear two. And
I like saying gear second.
Yeah, except it doesn't make any grammatic sense.
No matter, gear second.
You know, it's like for the longest time I was like, oh, it's second gear. But then I saw it and it's like, gear secondo. I was like, Japan?
Well, in that case,
that's not how that works.
In that case, we should be saying Luffy the Monkey, since Monkey is his last name, not his first name.
Well, yes, except it's valid in Japan.
And Zoro Ronora.
No. It's valid in Japan to have the first name, to have the last name first.
Yes.
Because that's how they do names, and names are a thing that exists in Japan. However, the words gear and second are completely English words and do not exist in Japan outside of the introduction of English. Therefore, our rules go as far as how you use those words.
Monkey is an English word.
Yes, but I'm not meaning the word. I mean the concept of a name is something that exists in Japan. Henceforth, they can apply their rules to personal names. However, when it comes to words that are meant to mean something in English, they can't apply their own rules because they're, you know, I've gotten confused. But anyway,
okay, we're talking about names. I would say that when it comes to One Piece names, saying their last name first and then their first name last, it just sounds a lot better.
It
than how Bleach can do it either way. It works fine, but well, for One Piece, it works better just the one way.
Well, yeah, well, Bleach is set in Japan, so, you know, do it the Japanese way. But, yeah, I'm actually kind of surprised that with Bleach, when they translate it to English, they'd say Ichigo Kurosaki instead of Kurosaki Ichigo. But in One Piece, they say Monkey D. Luffy instead of Luffy D. Monkey. I guess now we know why. Luffy D. Monkey. But nonetheless, it's kind of odd. But I will say that I have to laugh every time somebody starts calling him Monkey. You know the types, the ones that they're reading One Piece for the first time and they're writing their review of Volume 1 and they're like, the story revolves around Monkey D. Luffy, a young pirate, and in this, his adventure, Monkey, and I'm just sitting there, I'm just reading it and I'm, people! It's like, come on, you manga fans, you should know. Last name first name last. Except the translations get it all, it gets confusing, but nonetheless. So, second gear, or gear
okay,
second,
well,
or
gear yeah, yeah, two. We'll call second, we'll go gear two then.
That's how it is in the actual manga translation, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so, and nonetheless, it's quite possibly the greatest way to end this volume, because Luffy just completely trashes Bluno, And I remember when I first read this, it just kind of blew my mind. I was like, what? How did he become so much more powerful? This makes no sense considering we never saw him training. Hey, wait a minute. But nonetheless, you know, that's One Piece is one of those rare series where I will forgive the characters for not showing their training. And so, but yeah.
Well, Zoro kind of was, well, he wasn't training, he's more exercising.
Yeah, exactly, but you never see.
It's like he's lifting stuff, it's like, what?
Yeah, it's like you never see Luffy developing his new technique, you know? But still, that works for me because it would have worked a little bit better if we had have seen him, thinking about how, I'm not strong enough. Robin almost died. We all almost died when we fought against Aokiji. I need to do something to, become stronger. You know, just not like not giving away what it is his technique is going to be, but have like a moment showing where he decides, you know what, I'm not strong enough. I need to become stronger. And then have him start thinking about, you know, preparing some kind of extra techniques. And then...
But I do like that he actually learned to use Soru by saying, hey, you know, I've been watching you kick the ground like 10 times really fast and then moving. You know, I kind of watched it and I actually know how to do it too. Like, what? Yep, thanks to you. I know how to do it now.
Yeah, that was pretty kick-ass. So, yeah, this is definitely a good volume to start us off this week and a great volume for people to read up to just because, you know, that moment where he ends up unveiling his new technique is just the best. So, all right. Let's see. Did you have anything to add, or did you want to move on to 41?
Let's move on to 41 because there's something I want to add on to after 41 in some way.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So this one is. Yeah, we start off with Luffy and everyone making their way up to the the roof of the building where they're going to, where Robin is. And they're saying, hey, you know, we're here to save you. And she's like, you know, don't you know what will happen if you try to save me? And then we go to the to Robin's flashback where it's like she wasn't an orphan, but she was living with her aunt and uncle.
Her aunt is her aunt-in-law.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't really differentiate between that, but nonetheless, sure. Yeah. So, yeah, you have, you know, she's growing up as a kid. She has devil fruit powers, and everyone's like, oh, look at the freak with devil fruit powers. I'm just, you know, that never made any sense. It's like, I'm going to make fun of the person with these special powers.
Because oh, look, a mutant. I'm going to make fun of them and hope they don't hurt me.
Like, I'm on fire. I'm burning.
It's their fault. I'm like, you know what, kid?
Yeah.
Let me get a bat and maybe just like, well, you're a kid. I can't hurt you. So I'll just give this to a little kid. Another little kid and tell him to hurt you in return in my place. Because I can't do it. Kids can do it, but I can't do it.
Yeah, better, yeah, yeah. Don't make fun of the girl that can make limbs sprout from everywhere, unless you want to be the training subject for her clutch technique. That joke will make sense later, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already read. But yeah, so the majority of the volume is Robin's flashback. She's, you know, studying to be wants to be an archaeologist, and... We have this island of archaeologists, and they're all, hey, we need to learn. It was like, you know, oh, we're trying to learn the past and whatnot. She meets Jaguar D. Saul. He's a giant who becomes her friend, and they're, you know, he teaches her how to laugh, basically. And then the Marines come, and right as Robin's mother shows up, was it Nico Olvia?
How's their name spelled?
Olvia.
Really? So it's not Olivia at all. Okay.
Nope. This is kind of silly because we've got Olvia in One Piece, and then you've got Olivier in Fullmetal Alchemist. I'm starting to think that Japanese manga artists don't know how to say the name Olivia. Like
Olivia.
I just get this sense that, you know, Oda and Hirokawa were just trying to name their characters Olivia, but they were just like, Olivier. It's like, what? No, no, that's not, whatever.
Arakawa, like, by the way, not Hirokawa.
It was like, Arakawa? Come on, wait.
Arakawa.
All right. Oh, I was, yeah, I got the Hiromu part mixed up. But anyway.
It happens.
It just seems odd that two manga artists that have names that sound very similar to Olivia, but aren't actually Olivia, and either aren't an actual name or aren't a name you usually associate with a woman. So, yes.
Well, the thing is, the V doesn't exist in Japanese, so there's a B, so it's Olivia. I don't know how to say it. Olivia.
Yeah, it's weird.
Olivia.
But yeah, so the Marines the Marines attack. Mm-hmm. And we also discover that Aokiji's actual name is Kuzan.
You call him Kuzan now, right? Right? Yeah. So you don't call him Akainu? Yeah.
Kuzan, yes. Well, since, anyway. Yeah, I do have to laugh a little bit because I can just imagine how disappointed Avatar Aang must be that his friend went and was involved in a genocide of an entire island. You don't get the joke, do you?
Oh, wait. Mm-hmm. Who's Kuzan again?
Kuzan? Well, he never shows up in the show, Avatar The Last Airbender.
See, that's the reason why I don't.
But Aang does mention, is like, I used to visit the Fire, visit my friend Kuzan in the Fire Nation all the time.
Kuzan.
But
yeah. It's close.
It's exactly the same. But yeah, so there's a standoff over, you've got people getting shot. The island is, the bust call is invoked. And of course, you've got the moment where, where was it? The professor's like, I'm going to reveal the name of the ancient kingdom. Oh no, I've been shot. I cannot reveal the name, even though I am still alive. But I'm not going to say what the name is, because they may shoot me again. And of course, you've got the emotional high point where, as Olivia is being led away by the Marines, Robin asks her, like, is that you, mother? And then, of course, and Olivia's trying to print it as like, nope, not my kid. Don't want the Navy, the Marines to know that I have a kid. Otherwise, they'll take her too. And then, you have that whole.
She gave out the fact that she was an archaeologist. And they're like, wait, that little kid's an archaeologist? Great, mm-hmm. Now we gotta get her too. I'm like, oh man, yeah. Why are you.
Yes. Excuse me. I need to man up again.
Drink water.
I was starting to cry when just looking at that. I was like, I need to talk about this. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so sad. And yeah. Nonetheless, mother and daughter are reunited, and then the island gets destroyed, and everyone dies. And Robin has to escape and live her own life because, has to escape and run away from people all the time because she is.
Yeah.
Now a criminal, and she is one of the only people that can discover the truth of the world's history.
There were some we were trying to help her, even like that one pirate captain guy. He was like, "Oh man, you're a curse! Get out of here!"
When someone's being chased by the government, there were some people that was like, "Hey, that one captain was like, I know all about you. I'm a wanted man too. So you know what? I'll feed you in exchange for odd jobs." And then the Navy comes after her, and the pirate is like, you know what? This is kinda isn't worth it. So, yeah, she basically has a life of, just can never able to trust anyone.
There were some parts where she says, "I'll do anything you want." I'm thinking like, what? What? No.
Dad, this is One Piece. Don't go that direction.
I know.
But yeah. So. And Robin is basically tells Luffy, is like, hey, someday I'll become too much of a burden and you'll cast me aside. And then Luffy, as a show of how serious he is, he has Sogi King, even though in the translation they call him Sniper King. He has him shoot down the flag and burn it just as a symbolic and literal attack on the world government. And
it's actually a literal attack on any government in our world too. Burn the country's flag, and they're like, okay, that guy's dead.
Yep, and then Luffy, and then you have another one of the high emotional high moments of the volume where Robin admits that she wants to live. And yeah, so this is a very emotional chapter volume. I mean,
high tension emotional chapter. Okay. About the volume, there's something I want to point out. When Saul, the giant that Robin met in her past,
yeah,
he mentioned that, hey, don't compare me to those Elbab guys. I'm like, so there are other kind of giants other than the Elbab giants.
It makes sense. I guess the Elbab giants are more like Viking warrior types, while Saul might be from a group that's a little more civilized.
And there's also the thing about the phoneglyphs about how apparently there used to be this enormous kingdom that phoneglyphs are supposed to be telling about, other than the whole weapon thing.
Yeah, but, and that's kind of what the government really wants covered up. They don't want anyone to know about this ancient kingdom.
Okay. There's a phoneglyph in Skypiea. Well, it was once, but Skypiea, all the way up in the sky.
Well, that was right at the end.
Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is there are phoneglyphs scattered all throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
This enormous kingdom had the gall to go ahead and inscribe whatever history they left behind on these phoneglyphs throughout the world, not just in the Grand Line or the Red Line or whatever, not even in the sea, all throughout the world.
Well, technically that part of Skypiea is still in the Grand Line, even though it's just above it, but it's still technically part of it.
Yes, but there's O'Hara, which is in West Blue.
True, yeah. So yeah, they definitely O'Hara, but that's the only one that I remember that's outside of the Grand Line.
I haven't gotten to my point yet. My point, what I want to get to is, since the giants can live to generally be about, like, what, like 300 years old or something? Like Elbab giants, at least.
Yeah.
What if there might be phoneglyphs on one of these giant islands?
giant
and there might
phoneglyph.
Be someone who knows how to freaking read it.
You mean like Robin?
Not just Robin, but yeah.
Yeah.
No, a giant that can read it. A giant that can actually read it.
That would be interesting. But yeah, we'll have to kind of... Yeah, I guess with the poneglyphs, we'll kind of have to see where that goes later on in the story. One thing also, last bit that was really cool, is where Franky reveals that he has the blueprints for Pluton all along, and he decides, you know what? he's like, you know what, Nicarom, I know you're not some demon that would use the weapon. Would take the weapon and use it. And he's like, you know, the reason why we're protecting it is because we don't want some idiot like,
Spandam.
Like Spandam to get his hands on it.
And then Frankie's like, so, you know, I think what the creators really wanted was to make sure nobody got their hands on it. Even if the weapons came back, that sometimes you'd have to destroy it so that anyone would get their hands on or mess things up in the first place. Something like that, right?
Yeah, and it is definitely, you know, and Robin being around is dangerous because she could bring the weapon. She's the only person that could bring the weapons back. But, you know, she has friends that protect her. And then Franky decides, you know, there's only one thing to do to keep this weapon from falling into anyone's hands. And then he sets it on the plans on fire.
Fresh fire!
Except without the sage speaking. He just burns it. And I love, like, the reaction from, like, Khalifa, Kaku, and Lucci. And Khalifa's like, our 5-year mission. Son of a. And then you have yet another great moment where Luffy just jumps and takes everyone with him. And the entire rest of the crew is like, hey, wait a minute. No!
Not again. Oh, God. Die.
Yeah. And they...
Some of them had their eyes out, though. I think it was Chopper and...
Yeah.
Of course,
they all land on the... land on... let's see, what was it?
Rocket Man,
yeah. And just gonna end up flying straight into the building. And, yeah. That was that volume. I mean, good gosh. Oh, man. That was just like emotional high point right there.
Actually, there was something one. Well, I'm not sure if that's in the volume preview before this one or in the beginning of this one, but there was a part where after Bruno was defeated and Lucio was like, well, I guess Bruno was like, Bruno lost probably because he spent his time living as a barman all the time. Like, yeah, that's probably the reason why.
Yeah.
Sorry, Bruno, but I just had to rub that in your face because seriously, you had time to train. You had the door food. How come you didn't just go door? Oh, no customers, door. Closing time, door. Go train door. Like, why can't you do that?
It doesn't make sense. It's like,
Caliber fought a lot of people trying to assassinate Iceberg get near him. Mm-hmm. And then Lucci and Kaku were carpenters, so they already deal with pirates being stupid and idiots and all that. So,
yeah.
So it was like, I'm just a barman.
Yeah, they had their training time. So definitely a great volume. I mean, Robin's past is probably one of the saddest backstories of any of the crew members. I mean, just all things considered, and definitely worth reading to this point, people. Let's go ahead and move on to volume 42.
Oh, yes.
Which is, Luffy and Group are there, and then Spandam decides, you know what, I need to get Robin to Impel Down.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah.
Well, he keeps saying get through the gates of justice or something.
It's, yeah, gates of justice. Yeah. And I love the scene after, Rocket Man crashes and Frankie, it's like, come on, don't die on me. And then it's like, oh, look, we got bloody noses. It's like, that's all. That's ridiculous. And then, and I love it. It's like, Luffy is like, aha, we're here. And he's like, thank you, Monster Lady. Hey, guys, snap out of it. This is nothing. And he's like, shut up. We're not made of rubber like you. We're normal humans. After being in a crash like that, nobody could just bounce right back. And Luffy's like, everyone's okay. And Frank is just like, well, none of you guys are normal. Just making that clear.
You're not normal either, Frankie.
Yeah. And so basically the rest of the volume is them all pairing off and fighting the CP9 members who have the key for Robin's Seastone Prism handcuffs.
Yeah.
And so it's everyone pairing off, fighting, and it is pretty excellent.
The thing about the matchup is that some of them actually end up changing over time.
Yeah, because at first Sanji is fighting Khalif, but because he's a chivalrous moron, he ends up having to Nami take care of that fight.
And Nami will find Kuma Dori, but she's like, this guy is too really powerful. I can't fight him.
He's like, I've seen too much hentai to not know where this would go if I keep fighting this. Somebody else take care of this guy, please.
It's Akuma Dori's hair.
I don't know. I don't know how he controls it. But instead...
I know a certain character and certain series I can control, but he appears like a lot, like six.
Yeah, but instead she ends up...
this series? Yeah. When was the NES Lobby arc premiered in like the manga? Not the... In the weekly magazine, not the volume.
Oh, I have no idea.
Check that out.
Yeah, check it. Yeah, also, Nami ends up facing against Khalifa for what is possibly one of the sexiest fights in the entire series.
Oh, yeah.
Helped out by the fact that we start off with Khalifa in the bath. And so it's just like, blatant fan service.
Yes.
And then, it's basically everyone fighting, and the fights are entertaining, well done, and kind of insane in a lot of cases. And we end the volume with Spandam calling for help on his transponder snail.
2006.
Okay.
Well, I think it's the volume. I'm not entirely sure about the chapter itself, but the volume was so. It's just 2 years before Torgo's debut.
Huh. Interesting.
Before Torgo's debuted in the weekly magazine.
Right. Right. Okay. The two are friends. But anyway, moving on. The Spandam calls for help, but it turns out that he used the golden transponder snail, which triggers the Buster call. And Ram's like, you idiot.
You idiot!
Yeah, and then everyone starts panicking. Of course, for good reason. Because
actually, like, no, it was pretty funny because Spenden was like, oh, it's okay. I'm going to sacrifice all these, man. I mean, it's for the greater good. And then somehow it was off the Denden Mushu was off the snail phone was off the thing. And so everybody could hear it. It was like, wait, what did you just say? That bastard.
Yeah. He's like, he just triggered the Buster Call, you son of a bitch.
And he decided to sacrifice us all, that asshole.
Yeah, and these really are some really amazing volumes because, you know, we get the individual fights, which is kind of classic One Piece, having everyone paired off, but it's a lot more fluid and dynamic with the characters switching out who they're fighting against. And it also helps that we ratchet up the tension by including the Buster Call, which was introduced this arc, and now it's being paid off and hasn't been used again since then, which is probably a good thing.
Yeah, that thing is pretty, we'll find out the result of what happened when the Buster Call.
Yeah,
we did see what happened when it was called, remember?
Yeah, I didn't say we didn't, but...
I know, I almost forgot we didn't see, I just said we haven't seen it in the present yet.
No, yeah, not in the present yet. But yeah, in Robin's flashback, you see that, you know, the entire island gets burned to the ground. Nobody survives.
Not even the people escaping, even.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone was like, oh, destroy them. I was like, why did you destroy them? We had to make sure that no one, none of the archaeologists were escaping. Like, damn, you bastard.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And yeah, these really are a great set of volumes, just these three together. And I mean, this storyline all together is probably one of the most exciting storylines to date. And so, yeah, I have to say I really love this part of the series, just being able to read through all this and having fun with One Piece here.
Yeah. So, I have to agree, this is the best arc of part one of One Piece, generally.
Mm. Yeah, most certainly. All right, well, that is our review. As we said, if you haven't read to this point, we've probably just spoiled you quite a bit, but these review segments do have spoilers. We should probably start doing spoiler warnings at the beginning of the podcast. But
oh, yeah, yeah. Spoiler!
Yeah, too late.
Too late.
Yeah, but nonetheless, this is definitely one of those... This is definitely worth reading towards. I mean, One Piece is a lot of investment and a lot of time, but it is totally 100% worth it. If you're going to read a long-running series, it needs to be One Piece, because it is quite possibly the only one that has paid off enough for your time. I mean, even though the series is still ongoing and is nowhere near the end, it's definitely paid off for the time we spent. I can't think of any other series that's this long running that really pays off to this amount. So
no, I can't think of any other series.
Yeah, so definitely recommended. All right, well, I think that wraps up our review section, don't you think?
Yep.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next segment. It's time for the chapter commentaries for the week, starting with... there we go. World Trigger. Not sure why they... Yeah, on the cover page it has it kind of weirdly, but it's World Trigger chapter...
You mean a table of contents where somehow Hunter is a bigger one than all of them.
Yeah, and it's in the first place, and I'm like, guys, that's kind of...
misleading.
Yeah, that's kind of not right, but whatever. Yeah, World Trigger... Doesn't seem to have the chapter name anywhere there. Well, it does. It's chapter 63. So.
Chapter 63, large scale attack, part 13. It's actually. Oh yeah, yeah. We have a popularity on there.
Yeah. So it's pretty standard as far as popularity contests go. I mean, the main characters are in first and second place. Konami is in third place, which is kind of entertaining. She's attacking Mikumo for making it in the first place.
Like, I'm the main character. Doesn't matter.
it's pretty standard. I mean, I'm not so surprised at the rankings here.
I don't know how that one guy got like fourth place, but whatever.
Oh yeah, that is he hasn't really done much, but whatever. He's the kind of character readers like, I guess. But
yeah, he's a hollow. Oh, I want revenge.
Yeah. So the chapter itself is.
it's kind of standard to me. I mean, it's pretty much was it Reiji? He tried to stall the old guy, and then he gets a little like a flashback to Jin saying, "Hey, remember, we're gonna be going against some of these people who are like probably even stronger than us. But whatever you do, make sure that you don't all fight at once. You try and stall them. We're not here to win. We're just here to buy time."
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It is. Yeah, so it's basically him trying to do that, and the C-rank agents trying to get away, but it looks like the main, the headquarters are locked down for reasons we know of. And then, yeah, and for some reason, that one chick has a cat on her head.
Which chick?
The one that's, what's-her-face's friend.
Konami?
That's it, yeah.
Wait.
No, the other one. One of the trainees.
Oh, that's Izuha.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. I was about to say, remember Chigo's friend's name is Izuha.
Yeah. But did we ever... Did I just notice when that cat showed up, or is there an explanation
for that? No, I just noticed
that
cat, too, myself. I didn't even notice that cat.
Yeah, I'm just like, wait, why is that there? That's
just random kitty. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... It is, it's an okay chapter. It's a good chapter. It's not the greatest, but you've got, let's see, you've got Yuichi and,
Yuma,
that's it. It's been a while since he's been in the chapters properly.
And why is he one of the main characters, too?
Yeah, but they both show up and they're going to fight.
You should be able to remember him. He makes duck face all the time.
Well,
but
yeah,
but that's why you don't want to remember him.
Yeah, but nonetheless, he is not one of the more... I don't know, he just hasn't really done anything major the past couple chapters, so... Yeah, so overall, good chapter. Not the greatest, but I do like that two-page spread at the end. That's kind of fun. And so, alright then. Next chapter is Hunter x Hunter, chapter 342, Challenge.
This one was insane, because I was reading, I was like, oh my goodness, so much politics, I don't understand a dang thing. I don't understand a dang thing.
Yeah, where last week was a good introductory chapter, this is not good, very kind to the new reader, because you're just reading it, and there's so much, oh, look, this is our world, but we're not explaining a damn thing about it, and... everything, and
there's
this is politics,
months.
And yeah.
There's six continents, and one of them is almost like a very, almost, well, it's not like a dumbbell, but it's kind of, it looks almost like a, how are you describing it? It's a dog bone, a very, very thick dog bone.
Yeah.
How have I even said that?
I don't know, yeah, it is kind of interesting how the map does kind of the Toriko thing, or Toriko does the it thing, where the map looks somewhat... like our modern map. I mean, you can see South America, you can see Africa there, you can see...
it is easier to emulate our map.
Yeah, you can see Australia. Let's see, what else do we have here? This one right here is... Yeah, there's Europe at a different angle. And then... where's the next one? I think the one after that somewhat looks like the U.S., except... Yeah, I think that's the U.S., and I don't know what that other one is. But,
yeah, either. But the one they're going to is definitely none that we know of.
Yeah, it's like they do this thing where, our world is just in the middle of this giant lake, and outside of the lake there's the whole rest of the planet kind of thing.
Wait,
so,
really?
Yeah, that's the way they explained it. So I'm kind of thinking, it reminds me a bit of Toriko, the way they do that, but... Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody get on our case about that, because we read Toriko before this, so we're plus this one keeps going on hiatus, and it's very difficult to read a series that keeps going on hiatus. Even
hence
now,
why we haven't started it.
Yes.
Yeah. And so, but yeah, it's kind of hard to follow along, and I'm not even sure the guy at the end, the dude with the turban and the scruff.
That's supposed to be Ging, the guy with the turban.
That's Ging? Okay, because for a second I was thinking, is that Ging? It must be Ging, because Gon's younger, but then I remember apparently at some point there was like a time skip. So I was thinking, wait, is that Gon? I think so. There was something. I honestly can't remember, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I kind of looked a little bit, but not as much. But, yeah, I guess there was a time season. After, like, you know, a year passes, and then some of the other ones who didn't pass Hunter exam become Hunters next, and then they pass the next one, and another one passes. Yeah, like, it's kind of like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
Yeah, that's Ging, meeting up with, I think that's supposed to be Pariston. A play on Paris Hilton. I don't know.
I have no idea what's going on right now.
I don't know.
Kind of feel like we really need to catch up on this series.
You should read it. I think, because I actually do like it. I mean, and it's not because over, because I like how it's not, you know, oh, fighting, it's more like exploration.
Yeah, we'll have to,
No, I'm not too keen on characters dying and all that.
Yeah, we'll have to see where this goes, but, yeah, let's see, alright, but yeah, not much we can really say there. Alright, let's talk about Naruto, chapter 679, She of the Beginning.
The color spread is okay.
I kind of like it, but at the same time, it's really weird to see him doing color spreads with Sasuke with the rest of the group, because I'm like, no, we still kind of haven't forgiven him, but I do like the way he draws the medieval sort of D&D kind of designs with the characters, like the armor and the equipment that they have. Kind of makes me think, you know what, when you're done with Naruto, go ahead and do like a D&D manga. That would actually be kind of fun to see.
Yep.
You know? But, so, remember last week when I said that that Madara turning into, what's her face?
Madara turns into a woman.
Yeah, but
what's,
Kaguya, yeah, remember when I said that would be such a stupid idea? You remember that? How it would be dumb if it turns out that the big villain is someone we only just found out about like a couple weeks ago. Remember that?
Yeah.
Anyone that still likes this manga, stop.
Anybody still likes this manga, please go see a psychiatrist.
The big bad...
And no, I am very serious about this. It's not a joke. Go see a psychiatrist. There's something wrong with you.
Yeah. This... The big bad of the arc, of the series, is someone we had not known a single damn thing about until, like, maybe a couple months ago. That's it. And before that, we didn't get any kind of development or anything saying what her actual deal was. I mean, it was just, oh, yeah, she was the mother of the Sage of Six Paths, and, oh, then she went evil. No details, no backstory, nothing. She's just... I'm absolutely speechless. This is possibly the worst thing that Kishimoto could have done with his manga. This is absolutely stupid. I mean, seriously, anyone with half a brain should know that you don't make the big final bad guy that the heroes have to defeat someone you only just introduced less than a fraction of the manga's running time ago.
Yeah, this is a manga. See, if it was from a video game, it would make sense because, well, video games can do that. But with the manga, we've been reading it. Some of them have been reading it since, like, 1999. And I feel sorry for those reading, go, oh, yeah, they're going to kick Madara. Wait, Madara is so overpowered, he got turned into a woman. And now they're going to fight her. That's not Madara.
Yeah,
wow, I kind of feel like I've been ripped off here.
It really is. I mean, the thing is with, the thing is here is that, okay, first off, you start off and you're like, oh, hey, okay, you've got, the first main villain is, what's his main, Zabuza. But, you know, he was just a arc-specific villain. Then you get Orochimaru, and he's one where, like, oh, hey, here's the big villain of the series. Then you get the frickin' time skip, and then suddenly it's like, oh, wait, Orochimaru isn't the big bad villain of this series anymore. It's these new guys. But fortunately, Kishimoto spent enough time developing the the Akatsuki into a bunch of villains that are actually, you know, we can actually live with.
Yeah, I agree. I remember them. They are Kakuzu, Sasori.
Don't you dare read off all of them. That would take way too much time, but that's not the point. That is not the fucking point.
Okay.
Those guys were okay, and I mean, you get Pain introduced as, you know, their boss, and so it was like, okay, cool, cool. Then you find out that, oh, wait, no, Pain isn't actually the real one. It's actually, what's his face? That is the one pulling the strings, which still works because it ties into the, you know, Pain's backstory and everything. And
that's fine.
Yeah, and that's good. That's fine. But then they get defeated, and then you just... And then even Toby kind of works with him being Obito because, you know, he was introduced and he stuck around with us for a while. We got to know, you know, we got to sort of know him, and then that was fine. And then Madara, I mean, he'd been built up a bit, not as much, I feel, as he should have been. And but still with the mythology, he still kind of made sense. But it's like, the closer you get to the end of this series, the less development the, air quotes, big bad gets. Because, you know, you've got Orochimaru, he good, sticks around. Then the next, the Akatsuki, they're good, but, you know, you still feel like, wait, what happened to Orochimaru? I thought he was the big bad guy. And then you kind of go, with each phase, you kind of get to a point where there's less and less justification for that, for the big bad being the big bad. And this, right here, is just absolute bullshit. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I like the design. She's got the Byakugan in her, you know, for her regular eyes. And then the Rinnegan Sharingan. As her, you know, a combination of those as her third eye. And, you know, I kind of like the design, but at the same time, dude, she was only mentioned, like, barely a month or two ago for the first time. If she was mentioned before that, it wasn't freaking memorable enough and didn't give us the, you know, this isn't some amazing mythic character that's just suddenly showing up to be defeated. No, I mean, it's like all the big mythology of the world has been done in recent years and not from the beginning, so this doesn't feel satisfying because it's being played off as a, oh, this, they have to fight this big mythic character, but then at the same time, we don't know anything about this big mythic character. She was only recently introduced, and so it doesn't have that same appeal. So this series is, I mean, I know for a while I've hated this series for a while after a lot of the BS that Kishimoto has pulled, and I know that I ended up coming back to the series because I was thinking, you know what, I've already seen the worst this series can do, let's just see how it ends, and then I get to this, and I'm like, oh, jeez.
Just got worse. Okay, yeah. So what about the White Zetsu thing?
Oh, yeah, all the people turning into White Zetsus. I would laugh if all the other, you know, all the other characters are now completely gone, but chances are they're actually going to find a way to get him back.
Of course.
So, you know, it'd be ridiculous if they, you know, it would be against Kishimoto's regular, you know, behavior for him to not bring them back.
Well, if they all end up turning to White Zetsu, it'll only be about, what, four of them left, not me.
Yeah, that would be kind of funny.
The zombie Hokages don't count because they're already dead.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, but let's see. That's kind of all I've really got here.
Yeah.
This is stupid. Nobody should be. I really don't see why anyone would enjoy this anymore. I mean, just from a pure writing standpoint, this manga has become the biggest bullshit in existence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, whether you love the characters or hate the characters, the crap that's happening is just so completely unenjoyable. But moving on. We're talking about Seraph of the End, chapter 22.
Oh, wow. I didn't get the chapter title for this one in my notes.
Yeah, so it's... I don't know, it's focusing on the vampires, and we find out that, oh, look, what's her face? The Dracul Cruel or whatever her name is. She was meant to kill everyone, all of the Hyakuya sect, but then she didn't. She kept a bunch of those kids alive. But why? Now she's kind of in a bad situation where he's like, oh, geez, you complete idiot. you're not a very smart person. You let yourself get caught in this situation pretty easily. That was dumb. So, I didn't care for this one mostly.
Vampire politics, I don't know what's going on.
I don't give two shits about vampire politics. And yeah, you've also got...
Vampire politics suck.
And also the focusing on the creepy little lolly and the creepy pedophile guy. And you're just like, oh, geez.
Yeah.
It's become obvious. When he starts groping asses, it's obvious. So I'm going to pass on. Let's talk about Bleach instead.
Yeah, Bleach is actually good.
Yeah, Bleach 583 was a lot of fun. You know, it was, it was just a fight, and it was Ichigo fighting against, what's her name, the blonde lightning one?
Catnip.
That's it, yeah.
Catnip, I forgot her name, but something like that.
Something Catnip, but yeah, and Ichigo shows off some of his new abilities, so, you know, it's one of those chapters where the main hero shows off their abilities, and say what you will about Bleach, its biggest sin at times is being dull now. Mm-hmm. But I'd rather be, I don't know, honestly, I'd rather a series just be a little bit dull because it has a better chance of getting better than being objectively terribly written.
Yeah, look at World Trigger. It was dull to look at. So many people liked it and it got to be better.
Yeah.
Also, one of the four Stern Ritters as he grew on me. Wait, it's a four, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The creepy one?
Yeah, the creepy one. I don't like her design. Not the lolly and not the big jugs one. I don't like the big jugs one.
Well, she hasn't done anything entertaining.
Exactly, so. That's why. Big jugs don't do anything at all. No offense to Orihime. Yeah, she did stuff, and so did Rangiku.
Yeah.
and Kukaku, and I can't think of right now. I don't want to.
Yeah, well, nonetheless.
Good chapter.
Yeah, it was an entertaining chapter. I liked it.
Use a new move. Right, new move. What's it called? Yuji Show?
Yeah. Awesome. It's like a cross blast, which is like, cool. Looks neat. All right, next chapter.
Toriko.
Chapter
280. Hex Food World.
Yeah, and it's basically
it's Yokai Land.
Pretty much, you know, and he's making some gags with Nurahion Namago. Nura Rise of the Yokai Clan parody. He's got a little Terraformars reference in there and everything, and it's basically basically the chapter is them all eating food that's all gruesome Halloween themed, and you also find out that it looks like Melk the First came through and made some knives at some point in the past, and so they basically eat and they're like, oh yeah, that was good, let's go back home now. And then Brunch is like, what the hell? It's like, what do you guys, what took you guys so long? It's like, I made you food in my restaurant. Get over here.
And why Toriko's didn't you greet them, Brunch?
Yeah. And Toriko's like, oh, him.
But yeah, so. this chapter was actually a lot of fun because it's basically Yokai Land, which I was like, it's not bad, but it's kind of fun because I like yokais and demons and stuff in Japanese folklore. And the little bits of Mappy was saying that that it's not just Hexworld that they barter food in, but the gourmet world in general. So I guess they will be using food as money.
Yeah. So it's which makes sense. I mean, food is the most important thing in Toriko world. But
it was funny like, I don't care any money. I don't need money in the first place. It's like, oh yeah, we don't need
money. Like you steal stuff. Yeah, like the part when you have that one Tengu-looking woman, I guess, who's trying He's like, hey, he's like, Mr. Human, care for a drink? And he's like, you talking to me? He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you were human. And she's like, he's an ogre? That was funny.
Oh, yeah, she might be in a holster.
Yeah, probably.
Thinking. Bolton.
Yeah, and yeah, they have the, which would make sense because they've got the, like, the beauty in a tin thing, which turns out it's like the pistachio princess, which is this little,
this submitted little, by Kendo Kobayashi. That guy's onto something.
Yeah, you crazy person. But yeah, it's just basically this small naked woman in a tin, except they don't show any details. I'm just like, I agree with Sunny. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's like, wait, pistachio. At first I was like, wait a minute. And then I was like, wait, pistachio prince? Wait, supposed to eat that?
I don't think you're supposed to eat that.
I don't. Well, it's food.
Though I guess that is a fetish among some people. So I'm just like, please let's not go there.
But yeah, so there's this part where Kogo's like, oh, these darkness bandages might come in handy. I'll buy them. I'm like, oh, okay, we'll probably see these come in handy at some point.
It's like, oh, hey, look. It's like an RPG getting armor and stuff. Yeah, basically the majority of this this chapter is Sunny having an awful time because he's like, everything is disgusting here. And then it's like a banana natto. It's like, oh, Jesus, just a banana with a bunch of natto in it.
I'm really amazed that none of them took offense to him saying disgusting the whole time. Maybe they just thought that he was just...
Maybe they're probably pretty self-aware, yeah. I'd imagine. But yeah, this was a good chapter. I enjoyed myself immensely with it. So, yeah. All right, well, I think that's that. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll move on to the next chapter, shall we?
All right.
It's time for Nisekoi chapter. Where's the chapter
125.
Title? 125? Why is the chapter title not there?
It's there, but you just have to go to the next page to find it.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's... Okay,
yeah. What is the color spread? Color page?
I'm going to attempt not to have an opinion because... Sexy poses are a little disturbing when the characters involved are underage, so, yeah.
But they're in high school.
Yeah, and I'm 27. So
good point.
Any comment I make is going to be freaking creepy if it isn't anything other than, I have no comment to make about this.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but nonetheless, the chapter itself, I did get a kick out of, I really like this chapter. This was a lot of fun. And it's funny going from Tsugumi having to put on all these different costumes. And then it's like she puts on the bunny costume and the guy moves on. Then he goes to the pool and she's like, why are they all wearing high school swimsuits?
It's like, this is apparently a trend. I'm like, hell, it's not a trend at all, you freaking pervert.
Yeah, and Tsugumi's just all... Oh, thank goodness. There's no way they'll have a suit like that on sale here. So I can avoid this. And I'm just thinking, how do you think those other girls got that suit?
And then all of a sudden, Rocco's like, hey, I found one. I'm like, oh, man.
And this one, she doesn't even get a chance to, to get close to him. Because by the time she puts it on, he's already gone.
And then, happens like a few times, too.
Yeah, when she goes and she puts on, like, at a hostess... bar thing, she puts on like this Chinese dress.
And I like that.
Yeah, and that Mo, remember that this is characters
it's
in high school.
Chinese dress.
Tisk tisk. But
that was Chinese dress.
Yeah, well. Do they have dresses like that in Cambodia?
No.
No.
They usually wear sarongs.
Okay. I guess Japan and China have a monopoly on the fetishy ethnic clothes. Have a monopoly on ethnic clothing that has somehow turned into a fetish for the majority of the world.
Well, I like women wearing the traditional Vietnamese dress. I don't know what it's called, but moving on.
Yeah, that I have no idea what that looks like, but yeah. So
I'll get that to you later, but
right, okay. Yeah, well, and then of course Tsugumi gets found out the moment she puts on guy clothes, and she's like, seriously.
He's like, I'll dress up as myself. Okay.
Yeah, girl clothes, nobody notices. Guy clothes, it's him. And that is pretty darn funny. But yeah, and we almost go the creepy route with this one when the boss says, "Oh, hey, wait a minute, you're a girl? Okay, strip." And then Raku is like, "Hell no, we gotta keep this PG." And
Raku's like, "You're not a man. If you do that, you're not a man anymore. Like, tell it to him, Raku."
I was kind of hoping that he'd say something like, I'm the son of the leader of the, what's the name of their Yakuza group?
Shuigumi? Shuigumi.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, being all like, yeah, it's like, I take charge here because I'm the boss, I'm the son of a criminal organization. And but though that probably would have turned out where the guy was like, "We're going to hold you for ransom." Yeah, and I absolutely love the moment when Paula shows up to help with a freaking bazooka. And she's just see, she's got like this little tube of tummy medicine that she's just popping. That is, I don't know, that's just the funniest entrance of a character I've seen in a while. And of course, they get out and they have their, Tsugumi and Raku have their moment. And then, of course, you get the face for the picture for the chapter, which is Paula seeing them and be like, "Oh, I see what's going on here."
I see there's this amusing part where basically Tsugumi, she jumped through the glass and somehow her clothes got ripped by the glass. I'm like, is SNK the play more behind this? I swear I've seen this before. It, like in King of Fighters and Art of Fighting, there's a character who, if you beat her with a special move, her clothes get exposed.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it hasn't been brought back for a long time until the latest 13 King of Fighters game. I'm like, wow, they actually brought it back.
Yeah, you think, oh, they were progressive for a while and then they've degressed. Lovely. But yeah, this was
I still like them better than Street Fighter.
Yeah, the weird sexy moments aside, this was a very fun chapter. And Tsugumi's just a lot of fun, you know. Sometimes she's not in the best chapters, but every once in a while I really like her. Chapter.
That flag raise, though, man. I mean, seriously, her clothes are just ripped and they're in the water. I'm like, you do realize you're kind of in your underwear, right?
I did not catch that at all. Where did that happen?
When they were escaping the ship and she jumped through the glass.
Yeah, except I don't see that. Like, I don't see the part where they jumped through the glass, you know?
She jumped through the glass.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, they have a moment where it's like, ready, jump. And then you don't see them go through the glass and...
Hang on, let me see if I can find it.
I don't see it said or shown anywhere that she's in her underwear.
Not enough. Well,
is it the moment where she's like, "Ah, what a day. Why do these things happen to me?"
Yeah, that.
I don't think that's the underwear being, the clothes being ripped. I think that's just her talk referring to the day in general. So, speaking of underwear, Stealth Symphony, Chapter 15, Pale Liar, which is...
Hang on. Yeah, okay, fine, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, we start off...
You moved on too fast.
Well, we don't need to spend that much time. And besides, I looked at it. It's not there. There's no mention of her being in her underwear. Wait a minute. What's with pages randomly repeating themselves? Let me do something. I'm gonna delete and re-download it because I get the feeling that I've got some that I've got some weird pages multiplied and missing and all that. So give me just a sec while I look that up. And well, while I re-download it, fortunately I've got a good connection.
It's basically on page 168.
Right, I'll be able to look that up in a sec. I'm just downloading it back to the tablet.
Okay, let's just move on to Stealth Symphony verse.
It's downloaded now, so I'm just opening it up again, because I kind of need to be able to, I need to have it downloaded so I can read Stealth Symphony. All right, but yeah. So we start off with a pretty fetishisty image of the police chief showing her massive cleavage.
I really don't care about her at all. Period.
Not really. No, I mean, she's obviously like there because of the fetish material. And the thing with it is, that, you know, they do this whole... Oh, there we go. Okay. Sorry, I got this downloaded again. Yeah, now I saw where she ends up in her underwear.
Yes.
And, yeah, for some reason I had weird pages repeating. I'm going to have to reread this chapter because there's pages that I missed. But anyway, yeah, Stealth Symphony. Okay. Yeah, so... I don't know, yeah, it is kind of weird where these, like, the royal forces show up, and it's, you know, I'm getting really sick of these fantasy manga that seem, that keep mixing modern and medieval elements. Because it's like, okay, look, you've got a world here where everyone's wearing modern clothes, you know, with modern styles and everything, and then randomly these jackasses in armor show up. And I'm just thinking, why? Why in a modern world where you have robot cyborgs would you have any branch of any government that wears freaking medieval armor? It's not even power armor. It's not space marine armor. It's not Iron Man armor. It's just a bunch of twits in medieval armor. How is this useful? How does this make sense? It's just how, it's just like I absolutely loathe and despise all these games and, you know, anime and manga that come, that decide, oh, hey, we're going to do a fantasy world, except they have modern guns. And I'm like, you fucking jackasses, that makes no fucking sense. It's like, the moment, no, that still makes sense because, you know, it's not modern guns. It makes no freaking sense to have a world where guns were developed, where you develop up to, like, even just revolvers, because, I mean, and then still have swords, because people stopped using swords when they had guns that didn't explode when they fired them, because swords were completely useless by that point. And the and you get to a point where you have, like, revolvers and whatnot, nobody uses swords anymore because
that's
they're not
why
stupid.
That's why I work for one piece of the Flintlock.
Exactly! With one piece it works. I mean, there's still moments where, and I mean, people can be super overpowered without that. But I mean, there are still moments where with One Piece, I'm like, why do you have laser beams? This doesn't make any sense. But you know, it's still, yeah, it still feels like you're slow. It's like a world that's transitioning from swords to firearms more. And they're just making some leaps that don't make any sense. But I am getting very tired of any world that has any manga or anime that does this whole fantasy world and like, oh, hey, it'd be cool if they had guns and swords. No. No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't make any freaking sense because the moment people have guns, they stop using swords because you know what happens to someone that brings a sword to a gunfight? To start off, they lose their freaking kneecaps because the people with the guns are just kind / cruel enough to decide to let the person live and realize how stupid they were. It's just,
maybe.
It's just, I just, and, but you can still sort of somewhat have the whole swords and guns in the same fantasy world. If you sort of say, oh yeah, there are certain swordsmen that they, you know, they become, with training, they become powerful enough to take on anyone, even gunmen, and people that use guns are usually because they don't want to train to be good enough with a sword. But it's just these worlds where it's like, this is a fantasy world, and we've got modern technology and everything, but there's still jackasses running around in armor.
Yeah, I don't do that as far as no. What I would do is come and think a modern world where the focus generally is on guns, but in some places, guns are still used, swords are used because guns aren't really available there.
I mean, if it, you know, if there's a good reason for it, but they've got fucking flat screen TVs in this world. At what point...
Oh, god damn it! I just saw it!
Yeah, it's like, why would anyone be walking around in armor? I mean, we haven't specific... Actually, yes, we have seen guns. We've seen freaking orbital lasers.
We've seen a satellite.
I can understand if it's, you know, they wear armor for ceremonial purposes, but why on earth would they be wearing armor while going to arrest someone? It makes no freaking sense.
Maybe it might have to do with you know, okay, you're not going to really care about what happened in the future, but you know, the one ninja that said that came from
a different
probably
world.
Our world? Yeah, there's more, maybe that's...
something kind to of? Do with it. Maybe.
Maybe a footstool sniffing might be, but I'm not sure.
I don't know, but you see, the thing is, the problem is here that, you know, they decided to make a world where it's a fantasy world, but in a modern setting, and then it's like they don't know, and they decided, oh yeah, armor's fantasy, and it's like, you morons, armor actually existed in history, so you don't need to include it to make this be all, oh, this is fantasy. I just hate this chapter just for that alone, because it makes no freaking sense. I mean, if you want to do fantasy in a, do a fantasy set in a modern world with all the typical fantasy creatures and all that, that's fine. That's interesting. I like that. But don't go mixing medieval elements with a modern world unless these are the most hardcore LARPers in existence. That should be kind of badass, but no.
And that would be awesome if it was true.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the Royal Forces, and then it turns out this is all just part of an ongoing LARPing session. But nonetheless, I also have to say that once again, this manga rears its ugly head of not knowing what the hell to do with its characters by having the police chief, who has done absolutely nothing besides be there and be all, I am suspicious of this character. Also, I have massive tits. That is her entire contribution to the frickin' story. And suddenly they're having this moment where it's like, you're being charged with treason. You will accompany us to the royal capital. And I'm just thinking, you know, this probably would have been a good moment if we actually freaking knew anything about this character. I mean, just imagine if the guy writing this wrote Full Metal Alchemist.
Oh, God.
4 chapters in, Hughes would be dead. And we would not know why the hell we're supposed to care. See, there's the problem. This series is all execution, no setup. You know, it's like it says, oh, hey, I'm going to have this moment because this is the kind of moment that would happen. But because you don't know anything about this character, you don't give a crap. I mean, there's the problem with not having chapters to actually introduce us to the characters. I mean, this series is all plot, no character. It's always just, everything that has happened has all been, this is all dictated by the plot. You're given absolutely no damn time to get to know any of the characters. The characters just are there because they need to be there for the plot. So any emotional response that you could have had, which I don't see how the hell we'd have any kind of emotional response with a character designed like this, is completely ruined. So this is a pretty terrible, awful manga. Just, I mean, not as bad as Naruto, because Naruto has, well, I don't know, Naruto has had more time to piss me the hell off. But this manga has managed to do what it took 10 years for Naruto to do in just a couple months.
I mean,
just imagine if this One Piece were written by these guys. Just think about it. 5 chapters in, they're going into the Grand Line. 10 chapters in, Luffy's fighting Crocodile, and he's being beaten, and we're all, oh, this is such a great big moment, say the writers. You should feel something. And I'm like, you do realize that the kind of goodwill that from a reader that it takes to actually get us to give 2 craps about your story takes a couple years, honestly.
Well, World Trigger managed to do it within a year.
Yeah. About. But see, here's the problem with modern manga, or at least modern manga as it's being published in Jump. People are so afraid of being cut that they just dive right into the plot, because they're afraid to take time to let the readers get to know the characters. And yet that just strikes me as the strangest thing in the world, because people read manga for the characters, okay?
Yep.
So if you just jump into the plot immediately, that's the worst thing you can do. And the fact that the system is nowadays is such that it terrifies people to the point, writers, to the point where they're thinking, oh, I need to jump into the story right away because I'm probably not going to have any time to tell this awesome story that I want. And then the story falls flat because they don't know what the hell they're doing with the characters. And, I mean, this chapter doesn't even really need discussing because that...
We need to write a letter to the editor and let them know that this is kind of what we don't like seeing the manga Kasi doing.
It's like, seriously, give them, like, a trial period, you know? Or not even necessarily a trial period, but a period in which they can write their damn manga without being afraid of being canceled, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that there's a little bit of leeway, but you can't write a manga if you're afraid that you're going to be canceled in 2 months. You know, that's like 8 chapters. I kind of wonder what the shortest running Shonen Jump manga is now, but you just can't do that. No, I'm sure there are shorter ones. But, you know, just in general, there should be a time period, like a 2-3 month period that gives them 4, 8, 12 chapters, okay? 3 months, 12 chapters, where they are guaranteed not to be canceled, okay? Where it's, you get to that and you're not going to be canceled, 100% guaranteed, and then that gives them time to be able to start, you know, to just 12 chapters just focusing on their characters, or 12 chapters introducing the main cast, letting us get to know the main cast. And then if the readers decide they like the characters, then they can start doing their story. Or maybe not even that long, but there just needs to be, something needs to be done that allows writers or manga artists to feel that they can take the time to let us get to know their characters without being afraid that their story is going to be canceled. You know?
Yeah.
And
dang, there's some series that only lasts about 2 issues of Weekly Shonen Jump.
Really?
Like back in the old days, like this one Kakumeiji Gebara went from debuting issue number 14 of 1969 and ended in issue 16 in 1969. Same year, 2 issues only.
That's messed up.
I know.
That's like what, 3 chapters?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, 14 to 16, that's 3 chapters. That's crazy. I mean, what the hell did he do? Did he have one of the characters molest a child or something in his manga?
I don't know.
You know, there's the problem. You don't know if something is going to be any good in 3 freaking chapters. So why the heck? I mean, either don't consider the votes. Don't let anyone vote for the new series until you're at least a decent amount in, or don't let people keep voting for just the, you know, the established ones.
That was the idea they tried to do, apparently starting this year or something, or last year.
Oh.
And they kind of gave up until chapter 6 before they started voting them. And I'm like, really? Give them a lot longer.
A little longer would be nice, but it's better that they don't start the voting until chapter 6, because, you know, 6 chapters is enough time to have a good impact with your characters, or to do however you want it. It's just, you know,
it seems back in the day they only get 3 issues and that's it, and they're usually gone.
Yeah, just imagine how many One Piece level stories we could have gotten if they hadn't have been so fast to cancel the stupid things. But still, yeah, I have to. I don't know. Yeah, but this manga is just pissing me off. I mean, seriously, I do like the bit at the end where Slice is, you know, testing Jig's, you know, dragon heirloom, and then just starts beating him, you know. He finds out, hey, I can control it because I have my dragon heirloom MacGuffin. I'm like, oh, seriously?
MacGuffin?
Oh, dear. And then we...
clearly lost its mind.
And then we find out that apparently the woman that was at the orphanage... the orphanage director is... apparently she's trying to transform Jig into a dragon.
Nothing new.
Yeah, which is, you know, that's, it's an interesting thought. That's interesting, but I don't care. at all about this kid. This is ridiculous. I mean, hey, you know all those characters that you had at the beginning? You know all those people on that color spread? You know those people on the color spread? Those characters that made us thought that, oh, hey, this series is going to have a lot of interesting characters. I can't wait until we spend time having them developed.
Have you not learned what happened with Nora, damn it?
Yeah, Nora went on forever, and they allowed it to finish in a different magazine. This series is not going to get that opportunity. This is...
they allowed Nora to get the final chapter in a different magazine. I'm like, what was the point of that? Just let it finish in the weekly series.
I don't know. It was a longer chapter, but... Yeah, Nora... Yeah, man, that was another series that was boring.
It was good until a certain arc, and I was like, okay, I can tell it's about to wrap, because it's revealing too... It's just getting to too much reveals and stuff. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that's a series I'd have to reread to be able to know, you know.
I have to agree with you, though. When you said, you know, it's the plot moves too fast, that kind of irritates me when the plot moves too fast. It's like, we don't get enough time to know the characters, to even know who the heck, who is the main, like, seriously, they say the main character is, what's his name, Trauma, but we haven't gotten a freaking, I mean, he only gets a little cameo, but he doesn't get, like, an actual character chapter for himself, like a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
It's pretty awful. But anyway, let's move on to One Punch Man, Chapter 35, Boros' True Strength.
Blah, 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 blah. Saitama tells him to shut up.
Pretty much.
And he gets sent to space in the moon.
Yeah. I guess they decided they want to send him to the moon, which that is fun enough that I say it's worth the, you know, that it's worth rewriting everything. But at the same time, I'm just thinking, okay, he's basically invincible because he trained himself, but that's not going to explain how he can survive being on the moon.
I'll be honest, when I saw that comic, I was like, wait a second, when was he on the moon in the original one?
I guess they're deviating from the original story, then. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, well, there's one who's the writer, so I guess it makes sense if he wants to do what he wants to do. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, not much to say about that chapter, though.
Not really. I mean, it's good action. It was enjoyable. All right, let's move on to close out of this and move on to...
Shokugeki no Soma.
Yes.
So, we didn't get a new chapter of Assassin's Classroom.
So yeah.
At least, you know, I'm sure it's actually published in the overseas, but it you know, it's not officially published here yet still, so yeah, we can't.
Well, yeah, it hasn't been translated just yet, so, oh well. All right, let's see, oh wait, sorry, one sec, I'm pulling up, let's see, Shokugeki.
Chapter 72, the Jewels Generation.
There we go, all right. The Jewels Generation. Okay, so this chapter we discover that the winner is... what's his face again?
Ryo Kurokiba.
Kurokiba, yes. There we go. Which, yeah, kind of expected. You know, he's going to go on for a while. But it was very nice that they pulled it off that Megumi had a, you know, had a prop, you know, actually a fighting chance. And so, and... Yeah, it is worth pointing out that the director did not strip, and you also have...
I was like, do we need to know that, I guess.
Yeah, you also have a really funny moment where you have these two guys that are like, well, she really was no match for him. Isn't it weird that she even passed the preliminaries too? And at first I'm like, neither did you, got jackasses.
Seriously, this is the series I hate the most, where the side, where those back, not side characters, background characters.
Not even background characters. They're just one-off characters used for one page.
One-off characters. I'm like, dude, you shut up. I'm going to kick your ass.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, characters like that are really irritating, and I hate it when they're used too often in manga, because they are used too often. But I do like the way it's handled here, because this manga manages to take some pretty old tropes and turn them into, and, you know, work them to its advantage. Such as everyone else is actually, you know, is actually impressed by Megumi. And these two guys, which I guess I can just imagine they were probably just thinking, oh, yeah, she lost. Now it's time for us to ridicule her because that's how things are done. And so, you know, they were just, you know, they're not necessarily bad guys. They were just thinking in tropes. And then everyone else is like, screw the tropes. We're going to clap for Megumi because she's awesome. And, yeah. And then, and then of course, we find out that the reason that the chairman didn't strip was because his underwear had come undone when he ate Megumi's food. I was like, oh, dear. This has terrible implications, but I'm going to assume that, unlike almost everything else in this series, it's not meant to be sexual.
You know what's funny though? If that kind of trait is hereditary, it'd be funny that happened to Rena too.
That would be pretty hilarious. So then the rest of the chapter is basically, you know, kind of just a setup for the characters that have not yet fought. And you've got like the three of them, Arena's assistant, what's his face, the spice guy, and then the Aldini kid. And then we meet the fourth competitor, which is this tough looking biker dude. And so this was a good chapter. I mean, I enjoy the in between chapters a lot more. Just because they you know, they're there's a lot more character moments, and it feels less formulaic, you know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was, for that reason, I enjoy that quite a bit more. So, all right then. Did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, not really. The most highlighted point of the chapter was the part where the chairman revealed my fundoshi came off. I'm like, what? And it was the image. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah, that was pretty hilarious. Yes.
It's like basically Kurokiba won because he got the director to strip. He got the chairman to strip the most.
Yeah.
But if it was generally not that kind of battle, Megumi would have won somehow.
Yes. Oh dear.
This is written by a guy who used to do age stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, written by a guy. Written by Image Online.
Yeah, pretty much. All right, well, let's move on to Fairy Tale Chapter 387, Tartarus Arc Part 4, Father and Son. And that title has absolutely nothing to do with what happens in the chapter besides, like, maybe one panel.
It doesn't even point it out, so it just hints, it's like, wait, what?
Yeah, there's just like a moment where they, you know, where Graves like, you know, Graves like talking, like, mentioned Silver's like, you, nah, never mind, you can't be. And then Gajio is like, huh? His smell reminds me of yours, Gray. And then, of course, Duvia is like, the same perfume? That's silly. And yeah, and of course Silver ends up grabbing Gray and teleporting him out because like, oh, we're gonna fight. And then and then the rest of the chapter is basically one side attacks, the other side counters, and then the one side counters the counter, and then the other side counters the counter, and so on. You know, and it's basically...
You know, Amelia's attacks are generally counters anyway. So, wait, wrong manga, not yet.
Yes. But, yeah, so the count... Yeah, so it's basically, you know, them each using their abilities and counter... And, you know, fighting against the other people, you know, and just using it as an advantage against the people that, you know, it makes sense to fight against.
Okay, what about the part where Happy ends up having a mushroom stuck on his head?
Yep, that happens. That happens after that, and it turns out that it's not a mushroom. It's that one Cyclops demon guy.
I don't remember his name anymore. It's not an F though.
Yeah, the one with that steals souls and whatnot.
He was a soul taker, basically.
Yeah, and we also have Makarov going to after the the fairy tale was secret and the seeing how the city is completely destroyed, and then we also see Wendy finds out that, you know, she was, you know, it's not over, and that, you know, it was, you know, the reason they couldn't find it was because of the timing was off. And then you discover that there's more than one face, and they're all making different expressions. And I'm just like, oh dear, they're screwed. Which, that was a great way to end the chapter, because Fairy Tail often has a problem with, you know, unsatisfying escalation. Well, here, the escalation is very satisfying and definitely worth the time.
But so, it'll still end up, you know, having them getting out of it all game stuff because...
Without any trouble, yeah. Which, well, that's the reality we have to face with Fairy Tail, but... Well,
and besides, the way Marshall writes mostly characters, I don't think everyone wants to see any of their favorite character die at all.
Probably not.
Nobody wants to.
No, yeah, no, nobody wants to see that. But at the same time, it does make the series... There is this underlying tone
Kill
of...
Kill Simon, he did write her out, so...
Yeah, but like I was saying, there is this underlying tone of nothing serious is actually going to happen. You know? So, like, no matter how hard he tries to make it seem serious, but... Anyway, let's move on to the Seven Deadly Sins, Chapter 80, A Dramatic Surge of Reversal, which...
Later, what a guy.
Yeah, turns out that the door is enchanted so that any time he attacks it, he hurts himself, and then we skip from him attacking.
Door used counter, Slater took damage.
Yeah, it was like Slater is confused. He hurt himself in his confusion. Yeah, and then you get back... to the fight with Meliodas and, you know, Gale Thunder and Hendrickson. And we also find out that Arthur doesn't actually have any magic powers. He's just a kid with a sword.
And it's his first actual fight, too.
Yeah, and which is kind of surprising, because he was doing really well at first, but then now he's kind of outmatched.
It does explain that. That does explain a couple of chapters ago, like a couple many chapters ago, when they were saying, oh, remember, they got a new king. I'm like, so wait, this is like okay,
young
just
Arthur.
Yes. Think about, like, just some years out, I guess, yes, like, well, you've seen the Disney version of Sword and the Stone.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, but, you know, kind of like along those lines, yeah. And you've got the hooded person who we're pretty sure is Merlin. I mean, come on. Yes. But then again, it would be nice if there was a twist if it turned out it wasn't Merlin. But, you know, anyone, I mean, granted, maybe it's not as obvious for, you know, a Japanese audience. Because maybe King Arthur and, you know, King Arthur and Merlin and all that isn't as ingrained in Japanese culture as it is in ours. I mean, keep in mind, I'm pretty sure none of us, or at least I know when I was a kid, I never sat down and read all the King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table stories.
I only read the one about the Green Knight,
I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but at the same time... I knew about them. I didn't know all of them, but I knew a lot of them. Lancelot, Gawain, Galahad, etc. it's like, and Arthur was joined by his knights of the round table. Lancelot, Gawain, Galahad, Percival, and Sir, etc.
etc. I need to watch that again.
Oh, man, yeah. It's like... The brave Sir Robin, who bravely ran away from the Battle of Badon Hill, and who bravely wet himself at the siege of such and such, and Sir not appearing in this film. I need to watch that again, yes. But, you know, I mean, just in general, the whole King Arthur mythos is very much anyone in any kind of, you know, Anglo-centric country... is going to know about it. Like, you know, anyone from any one of those cultures, like if you're from England or New Zealand or Australia or the United States or Canada as well, you're going to know about it because, you know, anywhere where there are a lot of people whose ancestors came from the British Isles, you're going to know about King Arthur. You know, even if it's just, you know, even if you don't ever read anything about it, you know, there's movies about it, there's comics about it, there's cartoons about it, and if all else fails, your parents are going to tell you about it, you know, or you're going to hear about it from your, or if you're a non-white person living in one of those countries, your white friends are probably going to mention it at some point, at some time in your life, and you'll probably be all, I should look this up, and then you look it up, and then you know, oh hey, it's King Arthur, one of the Seven Deadly Sins' name is Merlin.
I still want to look. But I still want to look it up in because I like swords and, you know, the magical sword Excalibur. Well, and yeah, besides, the thing about Excalibur and the Masamune is that they... Well, no, no, sorry. Excalibur and Kusanagi. Sorry. Think Final Fantasy. Excalibur is basically, like you said, like every Caucasian, every European person should generally know what that is. And
much,
for Kusanagi, every Japanese person should know what that is. Mm-hmm. Kusanagi is the equivalent of Excalibur as Excalibur is to Kusanagi.
Yeah, and of course, since it's different, you know, it's different cultures, so... You know, it is possible that this is meant to be, the twist is meant to be, this is Merlin, one of the seven deadly sins, and the Japanese audience isn't meant to be able to figure that out. However, if that is the case, any American or just, you know, Western audience will be able to, any Western audience is going to be able to figure out, hey, wait a minute, you know, so... If this were written for a Western audience, the twist would be, that's not Merlin. But since I think there's no guarantee that everyone in the Japanese audience would know about King Arthur, I could see them pulling off the, oh look, it's Merlin.
Well, they wouldn't know about King Arthur, but they would know about his sword, Excalibur.
Well, yeah, they would.
Well, that's just got Caliburn, but still generally the same thing.
Yeah, but I mean, this is working under the assumption that, you know, we're living in a non-internet world, which we aren't. And I'm pretty sure anyone in Japan can look up King Arthur. It's just the question of what would make them look it up, you know? Because, I mean, someone that lives in, like, Europe or North America or, you know, Australia, New Zealand, if they don't know about King Arthur, there are things in that culture that every once in a while... will bring that concept up, whether as like, you know, just a passing comment or a joke or something, and then you as a foreigner would be think, I've not heard of that, let me look that up on the internet. Well, that may not necessarily 100% be the case in like Japan or Southeast Asia in general, but you know, I think in Japan they're probably a little more likely to know because you know, video games using
Final Fantasy, Excalibur.
Which, you know, maybe some people would be all, oh, that's, they probably just made that up. Or maybe they'd think, oh, hey, let's look up and see what this is about. And then they'd know. But, you know,
here's a funny trivia. Final Fantasy VII's ultimate summon spell is Knight of the Round. 13 Knights attack. Guess who fights at the very end?
Lancelot?
No, he's a second one.
Arthur?
Arthur, who else? 13 knights. He counts himself as a knight of the round table, I think.
All right. Yeah, but yeah, anyway, getting back to the chapter, the masked woman ends up showing up, and they all kind of fight together against Meliodas, and she seems kind of hacks, because she has, not only can she use ice, but she uses some kind of weird space-bending ability. And so, yeah, Meliodas is kind of screwed. And, yeah, so that was that chapter. This was a great chapter. I liked it, and I also liked
it. Okay, there are more than 13 knights, according to Knights of the Round. That's what it's called, Knights of the Round.
Yeah, but, you know, just kind of in general, I really liked this chapter. It was just a lot of fun, you know?
It was.
All right. Let's talk about Attack on Titan, Chapter 58.
Oh, yes, this chapter. Holy crap.
Yeah, we're not going to go into as much detail because this is a monthly series and it's freaking long.
Actually, there might as well be detail on it because generally there is
some
stuff going to.
Well, yeah, but, you know, in general, I mean, it's Levi fighting against these guys that are...
Using... it's vertical maneuver gear.
Yeah,
right?
The vertical maneuver gear with the, you know, with their shotgun pistols.
Using guns.
Yeah, which I guess he mentions, like, yeah, they mentioned he was like, you sprayed a, hey, let me see your face. And it's like, you just sprayed a shotgun blast into it. And so I guess that's what the deal with those things are. They're like shotgun pistols, which in that case, it can kind of make sense why they'd switch out, you know, barrels rather than just have revolvers.
But would they work on the Titan is the question.
Nope.
No, they wouldn't.
You have to use a lot of it to get rid of the neck, but yeah.
Ah, see, this is where swords work.
Yeah, well, that's why they use swords, because they're fighting titans. These guys are entirely meant to fight humans. That's what's so messed up about them.
Yeah.
Also, I feel really bad for that bartender. You know, just the entire time, he's just... The guy just looks so terrified. It's like just this old guy that runs a bar, and he just wants to run a bar. And then these guys show up with guns. Because that guy runs into his bar with, like, double shotguns.
Okay, and he's like, what's up? I'm like, what did he kind of pull the...
Yeah, I was like, that kind of, well, that ruined the character for me. And, yeah. And, of course, but it was a really great, nice, tense scene because, you know, the nice thing about this series is that even though it does have, you know, the main characters managing to get away from most danger, there are still these moments where, you know, you do can actually believe that a certain character would die. But, of course, Levi manages to get away. He doesn't kill, what's his face, but he does manage to, you know, shoot him in the chest and escape. And it's pretty badass because it's Levi. Levi, that stupid anime.
Wait, Levi?
It's Levi. Oh,
okay, Levi. Like the jeans.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it's pronounced in English. See, that's the thing. Is like I see
the
that name.
They say Revy, so.
No, they say it Levi in the anime.
You mean they don't? Oh yeah, we went over it before.
Yeah, they do.
I keep forgetting that.
Yeah, it's just I'm so used to the way that they pronounce that in other places. You know, like in Fairy Tale, it's like Levy. But, yeah, here it's just, no, it's Levi. His name is Levi. It's meant to be pronounced the way it would be in English because these are all Caucasian characters. So, but, yeah, so, and then, of course, yeah, and then you got more stuff. They're trying to follow the hearse, but, at the same time, Levi is, you know, manages to get to them. He's like, hey, we need to set up a defense, and then you've got I do like the moment where they're saying, oh, hey, how could they be shooting and yet keep up with Levi? But then because you know, it's kind of hard to use rifles and maneuver gear. But then they see them and that. So that's something that feels like it could have been mentioned a little, made more clear earlier, you know, how bizarre a concept for people with maneuver gear and guns is. And so, but it does kind of work with the characters the way they're saying, hey, you know, this shouldn't be possible, but here it is, and yeah. And then, of course, we end the chapter with a cliffhanger, with Jean managing to, you know, like, you know, trying to take this one woman that was attacking them hostage, but then she knocks his gun out of the way and points her gun at her head as Mikasa comes in to try and save him, and then there's a pop, and Jean's hat goes flying with a followed by a spray of blood.
Maybe but he did die.
Maybe. I don't know. It certainly is meant to look that way. But, yeah, oddly enough, you don't see Mikasa's reaction, except, well, you do see her reaction in the bigger panel, but you don't see it in the smaller panel.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, so could it be that Mikasa's dead? That would certainly take a lot of balls. And so.
It would.
Yeah. And then, of course, we ended on another cliffhanger where Eren and Historia. Yeah, how dare you start changing a character's name? I get used to it the first time, and then suddenly it's a
Crystal
new name.
Was her fake name.
Well, I know that. I'm just saying I hate when they change names like that because get used to it one way, and then they have to call them another way, and I'm like, ah, geez.
The thing is, they still call her Krista, but some of them call her Historia.
Which, yeah.
So that could be confusing, but I kind of know.
Yeah. And so we meet Lord Rice again, where, you know, it's like, he's an enemy of humanity. He's unmistakably a piece of trash. And then, of course, Lord Rice apologizes to Historia and hugs her, and Eren and Historia are just like, wait, what?
The world is full of surprises.
Yeah. I just love that the way they end it, and they're just like, wait, what?
Continue in the August issue, as in next month for us.
Yep. So that was that. Ooh.
We did it.
We did it indeed. That was a lot of chapters to go through. But yeah, this was a pretty good week for manga, with the exception of One Piece being off, which automatically makes it a bad week.
Because we had to suffer through Naruto not having anything else to alleviate our heart from it. I mean, suffer through Naruto and Stealth 70 and not leave here. So.
Which is why it's nice that we have the One Piece manga volumes to read.
Yeah.
So, yeah, which actually this works off perfectly. One Piece was off this week and they're off next week. Then once the One Piece comes back is when we'll take our little break from reading the One Piece volumes in favor of buying them without going bankrupt. But, well, I think it's time. Let's go ahead and move on to the next segment.
All right.
This has been Manga Cubed, episode 100 for the week of June.
June 9th.
Okay. For the week of June 9th, 2014. And, yeah, this week we went over One Piece volumes 40 through 42. We discussed the chapters as usual, except this time we had a Attack on Titan chapter on. And now let's go ahead and take a moment and kind of talk about the podcast a little bit, shall we?
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, I don't even really know what to say right now. I mean, we've been doing this for 100 episodes already. And I honestly never expected that we would get this far, you know?
Neither did I.
Yeah, it was kind of like when we first started, we were just thinking, oh, we'll just keep doing this till whenever.
We'll do it for fun. I mean, you know, there's no chance of them ever simultaneously releasing the chapters. Nope, now they are. Oh, wait, I've got to do this.
Yeah. Starting off, it never really was a thought, but around the time we reached about 50, I started thinking that, oh, you know what, this, you know, we probably could make it to 100, and around the time that we were in the 70s, then I was really, really starting to think, you know, this is something that we could actually get to, and that's around the time that I started getting impatient with, with our progress and the fact that we only did one episode a week, when I can think of some other podcasts that reached 100 a lot faster because they, for a while, they did multiple episodes a week. And then I started thinking sometimes, you know what, I bet if I split up all the individual segments into their own podcasts, most of them are long enough for that, then we could totally be over 100 already.
No, that's cheating.
Yeah, I decided that's not a good idea. No, let's not do it like that. Not to mention...
Too much work for you in general.
Well, yeah, and also, I don't, you know, it's a pain for people to have to download the segments individually, so, you know, better to just have it as one episode. But, yeah, so the fun thing is that I've been... When we first started this podcast, I'd been wanting to do a podcast for a while, but I either didn't know what, you know, I either didn't know what to podcast about because there's too much that I was interested in, or I wasn't, you know, or I didn't have anyone that I could podcast with, per se. And then I kind of decided, on my old blog, on the Blogspot, I kind of started this, doing this thing where I would just sort of, like, write reviews of the latest issues of Weekly Shonen Jump Alpha. And then me and Mo, we started doing a sort of a written podcast about it, essentially, where I would write something, then you would respond, and we'd kind of go like that, and it was basically us doing a review over chat, and then I'd just, you know, copy and paste it from the chat and edit it, edit all the little extra stuff out. And then we brought Ten on to, I decided, you know what, I want to have a third person on for this, written thing. I still wasn't thinking of doing a podcast. I was just thinking, you know, there's a website that I write for occasionally, mangabookshelf.com, where they do this kind of thing. That's kind of where I was getting the idea from, where they do reviews and, you know, segments that are basically like podcasts, but in written form. And so they kind of were doing that on a weekly basis, and they had more than one person on. And I was thinking, you know, I think it'd be kind of fun to have more than two of us here. And then we tried that, and it didn't work out very well because we never knew, you know, what ended up happening was that it was too hard to coordinate each of us between, you know,
I live in the Pacific zone time zone. Derek lives in mountain zone time zone, and Ten lives actually in eastern time zone.
Yeah, it wasn't.
So it was just really difficult to coordinate that way.
Yeah, that, and on top of that, it was kind of hard to, with just when we were writing it or doing it over chat, it's a lot harder to coordinate three people than it is two people. You know, when it's two people, it's I type something, Mo type something, I type something, Mo type something. With when we brought Ten on, we kind of decided, you know what, let's just type whatever, but then it got all out of order and everything, and it would have been way too much editing to you know, to do get that done. And then we tried doing having like, okay, I say something, Mo says something, Ten says something, but that didn't really work out very well either. And I don't even think we ever really finished one with the three of us. Like, before I decided to just, you know, quit on that and said, you know what, screw it, we're just going to do a podcast. At which point I was thinking it'd be so much easier just to do a Skype call, record the Skype call, and then boom, done. Except except then I decided, okay, let's see, how do I host this thing? It took me like, we'd already recorded several episodes before I finally figured hosting out. And then, so yeah, the podcast was out off to a late start, one should say.
I should probably tell you that before during the very early stages of the podcast, I was actually thinking of just quitting and leaving it to try and do something else. But then I was like, you know, I'll just do this. It's a hobby. It'll give me something to, you know, do. And yeah, just let you know that in the early stages, I was like, I don't want to tell Derek because he'll be all depressed. Oh, I got to do it for myself now. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, solo podcast, not such.
I don't want to leave this guy talking to himself for too long. He'll probably go crazy. Crazier than me.
Yeah, we tried that for one episode. It was after Ten left because, you know, just because of the timing issues, which were still a problem with him on Eastern time. I mean, with Mo and me, there's an hour difference, but with Eastern, there's like 2-3 hours of difference.
3 hours of difference for me.
Yeah, 2 hours for me, 3 hours for Mo between our times and Ten's time. So he ended up deciding that, you know, he was going to opt out. And then, but fortunately, Mo was still around. So except for that one couple episodes where you had to quit for a little bit and I had to do an episode on my own and then I brought an emergency guest on.
I can't remember when was that. That was when I was starting with the class.
Yeah, and that was pretty early. That was pretty early on in the podcast's lifetime, and so I think I do remember that the manga that I reviewed on my own was Volume 13 of Evangelion, which had just come out, and then later on we'd come back and do a better review, shall we say?
Oh, I didn't know you reviewed Volume 13 without me.
Yeah, that's.
I didn't even catch up that time though. So.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of stuff to catch up to, but. Yeah, and then from there on, after Mo's brief hiatus, after Ten had left, when Mo came back, we pretty much slowly settled into the format that we have now. We eventually kind of started deciding that recording it all at once didn't really work because we had too much to say about either topics or, you know, the manga we were reviewing. We went from reviewing, the manga reviews kind of had a bit of an interesting life where we went from reviewing the entire series that one of the three of us had read but the other two hadn't necessarily to reviewing.
Yeah, that was kind of a problem right there.
Yeah, and then we went to reviewing series that, you know, that both of us or all three of us had read before, and we reviewed the entire series. And then I was kind of at the time, I was going off of a similar model to the weekly manga recap podcast on That Guy with the Glasses. They were one of the inspirations that I had to start doing a manga podcast. I kind of followed their basic, you know, outline for talk about a manga series, then talk about the individual chapters, which we for the most part still follow here. But then around, let's see, where were we? It was around episode 27.
Wait, that far?
Yeah, we did individual. We talked about entire series, and a lot of those reviews, I'm kind of thinking, I don't count those, because we talked about, you know, we talked about Nisekoi, all of Nisekoi at once, and now we're doing individual volumes. And that's kind of what, and I even did a review of Genshiken in episode 13. And then I did Hide and Closer, a bunch of other ones that we're probably going to end up revisiting. But yeah, as of episode 27, which was almost at the end, which was in December of 2012, we decided to review Fairy Tail Volume 1, which was the first volume review that we did. And the purpose of that was basically, I was starting to think, you know what, on the one hand, reading an entire manga series and talking about it every single week is a lot more work than either of us can put in, at all.
I'm not going to sit down and read 300 chapters of a series just to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, not in, one go.
Yeah, we had, and then, you know, after that, we did end up having, a couple episodes where we would still talk about entire series, mostly short ones that we found, was The Legend of Koizumi or Shinmai.
Oh, that one.
Yeah, Shinmai Fuke Kiruku-san, or we went over Nanatsu no Taizai, which I guess I was in a weeaboo mode when I wrote that chapter title, but yeah, we kind of went over that, you know, we...
But that was the original, that's the Japanese title of it. It's the Seven Deadly Sins.
I know, but, you know, weeaboo, someone that insists on using the Japanese titles or Japanese words instead of English words, even though they speak English.
I call it the Nanatsu no Taizai for the longest time until I was like, okay, it's called Seven Deadly Sins.
Yeah, honestly,
I refuse to call Shogeki no Soma Food Wars, however.
Well, yeah, that one's kind of silly. Well, it's sort of, but, you know, it's eh. But, yeah, you know, it was around the time that Seven Deadly Sins was officially published here that I started calling it that. Or, actually, I think it was around the time we started reviewing it on Crunchyroll. But, anyway, carrying on, as I was saying, the reason for another reason for the move from reviewing entire series to reviewing just volumes and focusing on as much as possible on volumes that were legally available was partially because I felt that, well, one, I was afraid of publishers coming after me and being, you have put evidence that you have read Scanlations on the internet. And I was like, no, please.
We read no Scanlations. We only read in our minds.
It's like, no, yeah. It's like, no, please don't hurt me. It's like,
I plead the fifth, whatever that means. I forget.
Yeah, it means you don't want to say anything, I think.
I plead the fifth.
Yes, good. Do that. Now that he's no longer talking, this is all Derek all the time.
Hey, but, I don't plead the fifth anymore right now.
Okay. You can't undo it. No take backsies.
Too bad.
Oh. But yeah. And like I said, I also thought that it was also around this time that I decided that, you know, it was a good time to do something that separated us kind of from from maybe some other podcasts, or maybe not necessarily other podcasts, but rather I wanted to do something that made our podcast different from from Weekly Manga Recap, which I had been, you know, kind of taking a couple pages out of their book as far as basic format goes. And I decided, you know what, I need to do something a little different. And I thought that doing volume reviews actually was a little more interesting because it, at least for me, it was more interesting in that, one, we could go into more detail about the series rather than spending an hour talking about the entire series. Spend like 15, 20, 30 minutes talking about a single volume. And then we kind of, you know, we kind of went through that, and we were kind of at the time focusing on manga that I'd already written, you know, written reviews for. And even with Fairy Tail, we kind of ended up, you know, talking about individual series all through season two. It was like halfway through season two that I decided, hey, let's split this up into seasons. And then we were still through like a good chunk of like June. Yeah, around June, we were still talking about individuals.
In the last
entire
year?
Yeah, of 2012, of 2013. Yeah, we were still talking about some, you know, whole series. But then we ended up once we'd caught up with, you know, the volumes that I'd already written reviews for, like the up through Toriko Volume 6, Bakuman Volume 1, and then Fairy Tail Volumes like up to Volume 9. And then after that, we did a little something that ended up with our manga reviews as they are in their current incarnation, which is I decided, hey, if we do a volume a week, that would take way too long. Let's do more than one volume. Let's do two volumes. And so we ended up with...
I can actually read six volumes in a day, at least.
Right.
Yes. I could. I just need to not be focused on watching YouTube videos and such.
Yes, that is also
true. I mean,
that's true.
I'm not a professional.
No, we don't get paid for this, so we're not professionals, but...
We're hobbyists.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting how I look back at the archive, and some of the weeks we'd do two volumes and then another week we'd just do one. And I was just thinking, I don't know why we decided to just do one volume this time, but okay. But then starting like in end of July, beginning of August, then we were pretty set with the two volumes a week amount. Except when sometimes we'd take a small break and we'd, you know, just do one volume, or we'd then started doing volumes of different series, you know, like one volume of Monster Hunter, one volume of Fairy Tail.
True.
And then of course we had to do the Halloween episodes where we did Mermaid Saga, Gyo, Soul Eater volumes 1 to 2. We need to continue that series sometime. Majin Tante no Gami Nero, volumes 1 to 2. We also need to
continue I need to read that series still.
And then after that, I think we finished it off with... Well, interesting. Yeah, well, that was after October, but we still decided, you know what, Helsing and Blue Exorcist, volume 1, let's do that. And then, as I think it was around that time, Yeah, we ended up catching up with Fairy Tail on like September of 2013. Right. And that was the first one where we were fully caught up on. And then, although sort of, but then there was like a slight break, and then volume 30 came out, and then we skipped, I guess October skipped a volume, but then Fairy Tail 31 came out in November, it looks like. And then, yeah, Fairy Tail 31, wait. Well, I guess Fairy Tail 31 came out in October, and then, okay, yeah, and so on. And, yeah, that was, by that point, we were at the stage where we were reviewing Fairy Tail as it came out every month. And, you know, from there, we kind of, that was nice, you know, just being caught up with an entire series. And starting in January of this year, we started with a One Piece marathon.
Which didn't do so well, but hey, we're
at first. Yeah, before we did that, we of course went over Evangelion, which that was a lot of fun to go through. But yeah, we were able to get that done in December of last year. And then starting with One Piece, we managed to get through 12 volumes of One Piece before we decided, hey, let's take a quick break, partially to allow us to buy more volumes and partially because... We were thinking, oh, that's so much One Piece in one go, and this was before it started really getting good.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we went over all of Genshiken, which included a week where, 1 week, we decided volumes 1 through 3, and then next week, I went crazy and decided to finish the last 6 volumes.
Genshiken is a monthly series.
It was long. And then... Yeah, and then we read the second season volumes, and now that is one of the series that we're caught up on. And then we ran into a little bit of a snag, kind of like at the beginning of the year-ish, where I had a little issue with the hosting, namely the hosting plugin for WordPress that I use for podcasts was being a little finicky in which way it determined what text went where, and that caused
an issue.
And that kind of, that coupled with my inherent laziness meant that we ended up recording a bunch of episodes that I even have not yet put up, actually.
Yeah, so what we have up to like 86 when I last checked the site.
Yes.
Which was yesterday.
Yeah, as of this recording, I've put up 86 episodes, so we are officially 14 episodes behind as of this recording, of course.
Wait, are there really 86 episodes? I only saw up to 86. I'm not sure there's really, like, everything up from the early ones.
Oh, the early ones are there on the...
You need to do a better format, because I don't want to just scroll pressing the older pages button every freaking
time. I need to put together some kind of, archive page that I kind of, it's sort of like what I have on the Blogspot page. But yeah, as of that, 86 episodes were a bit behind. Fortunately, we decided, we'll keep recording even though we're not putting anything up. We decided, if we skip a week, we'll never start again.
Yeah, that's true.
And so, we ended up deciding, we'll keep recording while I try to fix this issue with the hosting. And finally, it was fixed just like several months. Like, I think I fixed it in like April or something.
April or February? No.
It wasn't February. It took longer than that.
It was April.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly how.
Probably March, April. I can't remember.
Yeah, but it is, that was kind of the really frustrating part, because I'd had some moments where I was in the past where I hadn't gotten everything edited in time, but then it was just that one really frustrating issue with the hosting that kind of made me stop editing completely and ended up with the biggest backlog that I've ever had, and I know that's really bad. I shouldn't do that. We need to have more episodes up, but... Yeah, but fortunately, I'm getting things edited, and we'll have everything up shortly. And then from after episode 86, we then kind of decided, there's a bunch of new series coming out that we want to read. We had the re-release of Ranma 1/2. We had the, new volumes of Genshiken second season that one came out. We had the Seven Deadly Sins that came out that we started reading. And let's see what else. And, of course, the physical release of Nisekoi. And, we spent several weeks reviewing those. And then from after that, when we finally decided, enough's enough. We need to get back into One Piece.
We have a list.
Yep. We decided, we ended up reading through from chapter 13 through 42 nonstop, except for the moments where we...
where we had... Fairy tales or anything.
We still did. We had some weeks where we decided to just be crazy and make One Piece a constant while reviewing new volumes as they were coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we reviewed like three volumes of One Piece with like one volume of Nisekoi or something.
Whatever. Yeah. And so, because one of the reasons for doing the One Piece marathon is one, I've never seen any other podcast that's done it before. And two, I kind of just really want to review new volumes of One Piece as they come out, but I feel that that's not right to do until we've reviewed all the others first.
Dang right.
Yeah, so we are currently with the release of volume 71 recently of One Piece, we are more than halfway through being caught up.
Mm-hmm.
We're like... Half of 70
is 35. We're a bit more. We're already a bit halfway already.
So we're well over halfway there, to being caught up. And of course, we're going at a much faster pace than the volumes are published, so we'll be caught up. I'll be surprised if 72 comes out before we catch up, despite the fact that we're taking a small break from One Piece after next week. But yeah, it's One Piece. I kind of, you know, early on when I decided I wanted to review individual volumes and decided, you know what, I'm going to go through all Fairy Tail because it's one of my favorite series and it's not as long as One Piece. And then I started thinking, I want to.
One of your favorite series.
It was.
It kind of never was. It was just an okay series, but it wasn't really one of my favorite series.
Yeah, but fortunately, One Piece is always my favorite. And when I decided that I wanted to do reviews of individual volumes, I decided, you know what, I want to do that for One Piece. And it was kind of decided that, you know what, 2014 will be the year of One Piece. And so far it has been. Under our original estimations, we would have finished by around July-ish. Unfortunately, that became not possible because, one, that's a lot of money to spend on volumes, and two, yeah, that's a lot of One Piece to read. That's why we have to take a quick break here to focus on other stuff because, I mean, sure, we decided that even though we review other stuff as well, new volumes as they come out, at the same time as One Piece, I do feel that it's kind of time to take a short break and talk about some other series as well. The thing is that I think we're at the format that I want for the podcast, where we review new series as they come out, but then we also at the same time go through long running series volume by volume.
Yeah, it does help.
Yeah, and I think
we just read one volume, we're like, that's it. Okay, moving on. Like, there's not much thought to it. We get like five volumes, three volumes from one series, one volume from another, one volume from another, for example. Then we're like, okay, we gotta read this, gotta read that, and then keep our thoughts together. Sometimes, for me, when I review the series, I don't go into a deep thought like Derek does. I just read it as I would, like anyone would, and just go, oh, this is a nice chapter, nice volume, this chapter has some nice things, I know something in here and all that. I don't go like, oh, this has this, I hate this, this has this, I like this, this has, oh, no, I don't do that. I don't go into a philosophical manga thought process. Sometimes, in all of them.
I like to consider myself a reviewer, so.
It is true. I just like to review how I review things, just in a simple standpoint about go into too much detail. I mean, I do like detail because I like to point. Well, I like to point out the little things I swear people seem to miss, or don't. Oh, I didn't. I missed, and I didn't pay attention at first. And I was like, I did not notice that. Wait, what? And then I go back a few pages, like one page, and I go, oh, it was right there the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you want just funny. I swear the Long Ring, Long Island to Davy Back 5 says. Oldest way of just getting Aokiji had the most funniest some introduction. he's like, I thought you were a tree. You know, I'm just standing there all the time, speaking the whole time.
Yeah, that was really crazy. Just having him in the background and you don't even notice it until a second read through because, you know, why would you notice it at first? It's not important. But then the second time you go through is where you pick it all up. And that's why I honestly. One of the reasons that I want to do this reread is, one, to catch all the extra stuff, and two, because I want people to know, to see, you know, I want to encourage people that have, read One Piece to read it again, especially those that read it in Scanlations the first time, the way I did.
I did, too.
It's an encouragement for people to actually, you know, go out and buy the volume, hence why I have a freaking stack of manga on my desk.
If One Piece releases a giant version of whatever 10 volumes it wants, I'll still get it.
Oh, jeez, yeah. Well, I know that they do have omnibuses of 3 volumes apiece, which
is. That is true. The latest one was the Stripey omnibus.
Yeah, which is partially why we decided 3 volumes a week was good. And I think that's what we might stick with, that kind of whenever we're going through a long running series.
And the most we'll do is 6 volumes a week. Only if we're
insane
to do that.
Yeah, or if the manga release schedule decides it wants to screw us. But
yeah, what happened to topic time though? I was just wondering about that.
Oh yeah, that, you know, it just didn't work anymore. One, I was running out of topics. And
so was I. We're just coming up with random stuff to talk about, like fan fiction, anime. What do these directors do? So I'm like, I just want something to talk about.
Yeah, honestly,
that was my excuse for having topic time, I guess.
Yeah, we ended up quitting topic time because one, it was having a hard time thinking of topics I actually, you know, felt confident enough to talk about. I had some thoughts of things that I wanted to talk about, but
we still do, but we just don't have the time right now.
Yeah, and I didn't feel confident enough to do so. I was kind of thought, you know, oh wait, what if we have, you know, if we have a week where we only have one volume of manga to review, we'll have a topic time. But then at the same time, it just kind of, it just dropped off, you know. There's plenty to talk about with the manga, with new manga volumes, new manga chapters. Oh, and I just remembered another important thing that happened. I believe, let's see, in season 3 was the, or 2014 as you call it, was the,
Genshiken?
Well, no, not Genshiken. I mean the release of the Crunchyroll manga chapters.
Oh, yeah.
Which, those are, yeah, I highly recommend people. It is a great service. I still really love the weekly Shonen Jump because it has some of the best series that I like in it. But at the same time, the Crunchyroll is really worth it because they're really looking to diversify their catalog and put in a bunch of series that you can read. It was a bit rocky at first, but now I think, with the exception of some series like Attack on Titan, where they want you to buy the early volumes, they have pretty much entire volumes and series of manga up there that are definitely worth taking a look at. And some of the series, it's been a while since I've looked at the new ones, but some of them I'm kind of thinking we should take a moment one of these days and just read through, a bunch of series that are on there right now and kind of talk about them.
Well, Rekka, I just started reading The Tenth Prison.
Oh, yeah?
So I'm already caught. There's only 3 chapters so far.
Okay. Oh yeah, and there's a bunch of chapters that series that some series that we need to catch up on, but that
except
I need to catch up on that you need
you
to
don't
catch
like
up on.
It's too slow.
Yeah, I
to be honest,
bored of that one.
To be honest with this one, the plot is taking its time, and it's I guess developing the characters. I'm not sure the characters, but it's making the plot first before it develops the characters, but. At least with this one, worth it. Like I said, Stealth Simpson. Recently, we've been. I guess maybe I'm too open to changing my mind around people's opinions and such. But when I think about Stealth Simpson, just really wasn't. I mean, at first I was like, "Oh, this is a great series," and then the second chapter was like, "I'm not feeling anything for this one anymore." And that's when I started to notice this is not
very good.
This is not good writing at all.
Yeah.
And for the record, Ryugo Naruto is the artist.
Right.
Yoichi Amano is the writer. Don't confuse one for the other.
Yeah. That series, but we've talked about that at length. But all right, well,
I just want to tell you, don't hate on Naruto. He's not the one that wrote the series. He draws it, but he doesn't draw it.
He could tell him not to suck. But he doesn't.
That's true. He is a nut, you know, he's like, hey, you're not supposed to write like that. You're supposed to develop your characters first. Yeah. Okay, an invisible guy, work on him more before we move on.
Yeah, I know, right? Anyway, what does the future bring for Manga Cubed? Well, for one, we're going to finish...
We will have a female... No, I'm not kidding. We don't have a female captain.
I wish. It would be nice to have a different perspective on the podcast.
It would, unless she's a Fujoshi. I'm not saying Fujoshi is bad, but it would just be like, you know, they... How about y'all? We're like, oh.
Don't be a hater, yo. But it, I don't know. Yeah, if any listeners are female and interested in podcasting, send us a message. We'll audition you or something. But yeah, beyond finishing One Piece, we of course have big plans. The next series that we're planning to go through the entire series is Attack on Titan.
We've been reading the most
recent chapters, but yeah, that one won't take very long. It's only 12 volumes long in the U.S. so far, so at 3 volumes a week, we'll get through that real quickly, and then
terms of rankings, as of the first half of 2014, it is kind of the year of Attack on Titan.
It is, yeah. So
and I think more Glacier though was.
Yeah, we might as well go through all of Attack on Titan. It's a topical. You know, it's relevant right now. Get more people, see our podcast reviewing it, might be more interested. But after we finish that, of course, we'll be finishing One Piece. I just need some time to buy the volumes between 40 through 50 and up to 66 or so.
Oh, man, the Impel Down, the Marathon arc. Impel Down was, I'll be honest, I'm sure a lot of people liked it, but for me, I guess personally didn't like it because of,
Awful in the anime, but, yeah.
Awful in the anime.
Yeah.
I didn't see that part yet.
No, yeah. But yeah, other than that, we also, of course, intend to review a bunch of other series. The next long one I'm thinking of is either Bleach or Fullmetal Alchemist. I'm leaning more towards Fullmetal Alchemist, although with Bleach, what we might do is go a few volumes in, decide, okay, we're at the sucky part now, and then stop.
Okay, after Soul Society, we're done. Wait, what about the... we're not going to talk.
There's some good stuff in the Hueco Mundo arc. It's right up to the fake Karakura Town arc. We'll get to that when
we just skip that part when we get there. You say, maybe. Oh, this part we know what that is. We just read the pendulum, but then that's it.
No, we need to read it again and see if it's any different reading it like, you know, reading it all the way through with volume by volume.
Okay, you got a point.
But yeah, also, although I am a little more tempted to go through Fullmetal Alchemist because that is a completed series.
That's already over. It's been over. The anime already is over.
Also, I like that series quite a lot more than Bleach, so I'm thinking that's probably a good candidate for the next one, although I have more Bleach. So
some people might hate me, but if I really could honestly not care much about Fullmetal Alchemist in a way.
Oh dear, that's why we need to read it again.
It's a good series, but I just don't feel anything.
Well, that's why
I do feel some parts, but I don't feel like as a whole, it's a series I want to just reread again.
That's why we need to read it again, because we need to get that differing opinion out.
It's probably because I read it in Scandinavians. I read it like sporadically, which is probably not the best way to do it.
Not really, but we'll see when we get to that. Although, yeah, I'm still at the moment I'm debating whether we want to do, you know, series like the way we're doing One Piece, where we just review it all the way through, or do we take a break and do another long-running series in between?
Here's what I think. If it's a weekly series, it should be 3 volumes.
Right.
If it's a bi-weekly series, which is a weird one, still 3 volumes?
We can still do 3 volumes for monthlies as well. I mean, the page count is the same. They just have fewer chapters per volume, you know?
That is true.
And so,
I think, let's say 2 volumes for monthly.
Yeah, I don't see it. It doesn't make a difference. The amount of material we get is still the same. But
if we end up doing a weekly and a monthly at the same time, and they're completed series usually, it ends up being a case. Then we should do three weekly volumes of the same series and 3 monthly volumes of the same series rather than just doing, 6 of both. But that's 12 and that's too much.
Right. Well,
that's too much.
Well, yeah, I wasn't suggesting that.
I just want to point that out.
Yeah, I'm just kind of debating right now whether we'd want to do like a couple volumes of Bleach and then do a couple volumes of Fullmetal Alchemist or just go through all the way.
True.
I think we might do, I think I'm leaning more towards the it all the way.
Yeah, save Bleach and by the time we finish Attack on Titan, we'll go through Bleach instead. Oh, that's true.
Well,
that is true. But
I don't know. We'll have to see because
it might end before next year because, since right. Every April or something is when they have their new lineup or something, the new year's,
I don't know. I think it's too early to speculate, honestly.
I know.
I think Naruto is closer to ending, honestly.
So we should read Naruto first.
Well, shoot me. We might go through that one at some point just so we can point out why it fell to pieces.
Series now.
I don't know. I may make an exception for that one.
I'll go to the library. I'm going to rent it. Why don't you buy it?
Library. I have a library here, too. Yeah, but I think a lot of it will depend on which volumes I already own and whether I'm willing to go and pay and buy more, kind of like depending on my financials at the time. We also need to catch up on Toriko because, you know, that's a series. We reviewed 6 volumes of it. There's a couple, I think there's like 15 that are out so far.
Oh, and Yo-Yo Bizarre Adventure, which...
Yeah, we need to do that one again as well. But, you know, we'll kind of see how things go in general with the reviewing once we get One Piece done. And, of course, we'll have all the new volumes that come
Sailor
out.
Sailor Moon.
Oh, yeah, we need to look at
we
the first volume.
We should really jump into Sailor Moon.
We should take a... Yeah,
the anime should be coming out.
I have the first volume laying around somewhere. I should take a look at that.
Good point.
But, you know, in general, that's another one that we could read and, like, you know, just read, go all the way through. But, yeah, I definitely think that if when we start a certain series, we want to make sure that we, you know, start it and then go all the way through until the end or until the most recent volume, which would mean that before we do any of that, I'd have to, you know, make sure if it's a completed series, I'd have to make sure I either purchase all the volumes at once or whatnot. It all does kind of depend on my financials, a lot of what we review versus a lot of what we have versus what I already have. So I've got a couple of volumes of Toriko laying around that we can go over, some Bleach and whatnot, but we'll kind of have to decide. We'll make a plan for what we review, you know, once we're I'll think of some kind of schedule or something once we finish up recording here. And
the only series I have complete is Black Cat. And now I don't feel as hotly about it anymore.
Yeah, I never liked that series very much. But nonetheless, that's that. Let's go ahead and wrap things up, shall we?
All right.
Starting with the author comments for Weekly Shonen Jump. And first...
I didn't forget to have it open this time.
Yes. First, we have World Trigger's Daisuke Ashihara. What did you think of the popularity poll results? I plan to comment on them more in Volume 8.
I find it hilarious that Konami got third place.
That is kind of fun.
It's like, I just appeared in like chapter 30, 40 or something, and like I'm already third place. And I'm like, okay, so why are you like putting Osama in a headlock? He's been around since the beginning.
Yeah, that was kind of silly. Next one.
Hunter Hunters, Yoshihiro Togashi. I keep running to the same person when I drop off my kids. It feels like we're old friends. Yeah, that happens too. Like, hey, walking out, hey, I see that person, but then they're my neighbor. Of course.
Indeed. Yep. Naruto's Masashi Kishimoto. I went to karaoke. I tried to sing the main theme from a certain movie we've all been talking about, but unfortunately, it's really hard.
In English? Or Japanese? Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say.
I know what movie he's talking about. I have an idea what movie. But the movie I'm most looking forward to is the one that just is playing on Friday the 13th of this month.
Yeah, that one I'm looking for.
How to Train Your Dragon 2!
Indeed. Alright, next one.
Alright, Seraph of the Ends, Yamato Yamamoto. Yeesh, that's a lot wiser. Drawing the page each month is rough, but I get so much courage from the wonderful fan mail I receive. I'm so grateful.
Yep, Bleach's Tite Kubo. I keep saying I'd never do it, but I spent money on an FTP game. Oh, the sense of defeat.
I did the same.
Alright, yeah.
A few times.
Alright, next one.
The sense of defeat. Okay, the next one. Toriko's Mitsutoshi Shinbakuro. I'm so grateful for everyone's help in coming up with original dreams for a 6th anniversary special project and the fan book. Just beware if you have a spider in there, someone's probably gonna burn it. They're gonna think it's a real spider jumping at them. They're gonna like, I'm gonna set on fire. No, don't.
Yes. Alright, Nisako is Naoshikomi. I was invited out to dinner by Shibashi Sensei, Fujimaki Sensei, and Shinkai Sensei. The meat was delicious.
Why does it sound like these might be mangakas publishing this?
I think they are. I just don't know who they are.
I think Fujimaki is supposed to be the one that does Korg of basketball.
Maybe? I'm not sure.
I'm going to look that up.
Okay, well, next one.
Right, first. Next one. Stealth Symphony, Yoichi Amano's I'm obsessed with sketching the Stealth Symphony characters in 90s anime style. The nostalgia. Well, first, work on actually developing those characters before you start sketching them.
He's not the writer. He's not the writer. But,
oh, yeah. Right.
All right. Let's do our rankings. Okay.
Oh, this is the writer.
Oh, is it the writer?
Yeah, this is the writer. Yamamoto is the writer, serve the end, too.
Okay.
It's the writer, facing, not the
author. Oh, dear. All right. Well, let's see. Let's talk about our rankings. This is going to be a difficult one. Let's see. Do you have a number four? Let's see. One, two, three.
Okay, hang on. My number four is...
One, two, three, four. Okay. Well, I got my four.
Actually, hang on. My number four is Bleach.
That's also my number four.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it was a fun fight. And also, it's kind of hard when we don't have a clear number one to rank things here. But, all right, number three. Which one's yours?
Is World Trigger. It was actually all right. An all right chapter.
Yeah, that was also mine.
I mean, nothing super crazy awesome happened, but...
Yeah, it was fun. It was enjoyable. I liked it. That's why it's also my number three. All right, number two.
Okay, Shibashi's the one that did Nura. I'm quite sure what's his name. Fujimaki.
Mm.
Well, I'm curious to know who these are, okay?
Do it off the air. It's not important.
Okay.
What's your number two?
Okay, my number two is Toriko.
It's also
Nisekoi. Sorry, Nisekoi.
All right, my number two is Toriko. So, you know, Toriko was fun. A lot of creative, interesting ingredients.
It was fun, yeah, but I like Nisekoi because of,
because
dang,
it
I forgot why I liked it again.
Because it was funny, leave it at that.
Yes, it was funny. Even, and Raku's moment, there you go, Raku's moment. That was his awesome.
True. All right, what was your number one?
Hunter.
Really? Okay.
Even though, like I said, even though the politics was crazy, actually, even though, like you said, it was probably not a good idea to just suddenly jump into, oh, we're going to do some politics and world building. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, at first I was like, okay, but it kind of helps, you know?
Yeah, it didn't really make my list because, I don't know, I was just too lost to really be able to enjoy what was going
on.
Yeah,
I read some of the wikis. That's why I kind of knew who that one guy Ging confronted was.
Mm. I wasn't even sure if that was Ging, but then later on I found out, yes, it was.
It is Ging. Spoiler!
My number one was Nisekoi, just because it was really, really, really funny. So, I enjoyed that. All right, well, that is that. It's time, let's see, that has been Manga Cubed episode 100. We hope you enjoyed it. Hey, there's a catchphrase for you.
Ooh.
And... yeah, remember, questions, comments, send them to burninglizardstudios@gmail.com. Or you could look us up at Burning Lizard on Twitter. Or you could find the Burning Lizard Studios Facebook page, which I don't really do much with. So leave comments there at your own peril. Let's put it that way. And we don't have any emails or comments or anything, mostly because our podcasts are... a little bit behind, which is kind of my fault. Also, it's the fault of that stupid plugin that I use. But nonetheless, this has been the episode, and we are signing off now. So before we leave, you just remember, the manga is always better. Bye.